about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Now get on your feet for the two people who you have been rooting for all season. Ladies and gentlemen, the talk of the nation, here they are.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You know, if you mess with the bull, go for the gold.
You're an idiot asshole.
You know, man, the sun is shining, but you have lost the ability to take any joy in life. I can't stand it anymore. You're just a miserable dick now.
I will have sex with your...
Come on, Ralph. Oh, God. No. No, just no. Ralph. Ralph. No. No. Ralph, no. No, 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 no. No.
And now...
It's gonna be sweet.
Super sweet.
Sweet, sweetie, sweet, 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 sweet.
So sweet.
Our feature presentation.
You guys got a point.
It's gonna be sweet.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is a Wednesday morning.
What's crackling, you guys?
You know how we do.
Yes, I do. Wednesday morning, 16th of January. You know, we should start a new feature called You Be the Jury or You Be the Judge, because I am always fascinated when I follow some of these cases in the news as to what the sentence is going to be for the crime. And I always put myself in the situation of the person who decides that. Like, what's the appropriate sentence for some crimes? Because we all know, we hear stories all the time about, you know, there's a guy, there'll be a guy in jail for 40 years for stealing a car, and another guy will, you know, beat a cop to death and he's in for 10. Yeah. I mean, right. it seems so arbitrary. And in some ways, you almost can't compare sentences to one another because each one is kind of handled individually.
Right.
You know? So here's a story that's in the news, and it's getting very close to trial, although the young man who's been accused of the crime has already pled guilty. So it's just a matter of what they're going to do to him. So let me find out what you guys would do to this guy.
Death.
Okay. Really, death?
Yes.
Without having heard any of the details of the case?
I'm willing to roll the dice that this guy deserves it.
We actually talked about this story when it happened. His name is Kenneth Smith, 26 years old. He was dating a woman who had an ex-boyfriend. And apparently the ex-boyfriend put and I don't know the details of the photo, but some sort of a compromising photo up on Facebook after they had broken up. So now she's with this new guy, Ken Smith.
Right.
So he's pissed, understandably, because now his girlfriend is all upset because her ex-boyfriend put this photo up online. All right. So he's pissed. So what he decides to do is he calls the airport at Philadelphia and says, hey, this guy is on a plane on his way to Dallas, and he's got liquid explosives with him.
Oh, man.
So clearly what he's trying to do is make this guy's life a living hell because he feels that he wronged his girlfriend, right?
Right.
So he, of course, there's, you know, no explosives. There's nothing to it, and that is revealed. And I don't know how, but they do figure out that this guy, Ken Smith, was the guy who had called it in, and so he was arrested. Now he's coming up for trial on April the 16th, actually, sentencing. As I said, he's already pled guilty. What do you do with a guy like that? What's the appropriate sentence for a guy who inconvenienced a whole bunch of people, made a bunch of emergency personnel kind of spring into action, you know, got law enforcement involved and whatnot, TSA, but nobody was really hurt. It was clearly a dumbass move, but this guy doesn't have a criminal history. It's not like he went out and shot up a bunch of people or stole a bunch of stuff. I mean, there's really no harm done beyond time wasted. What's the appropriate sentence for Ken Smith, 26 years old?
I think I would add up all that it cost to do this.
Yes.
You know, in terms of emergency personnel and all of that.
Right.
Which would probably be significant. And he would have to pay that fine. And then like a year of anger management every single week.
Would you send him to jail?
I don't think I would.
All right.
He's a dumbass.
He's a dumbass.
But you don't want a dumbass turning into, you know, somebody worse when he gets out of prison.
Right. I'd rather have his tax dollars at work.
Yeah, true.
So
he's got money to pay back.
Pay for the law enforcement's time, which, by the way, I think is what Mark and Brian ended up doing when they had that murder hoax all those years ago.
Well, it wasn't even there. It wasn't even – the amount was ridiculous that they had to pay. But
that's what I understand. Yeah. I heard that. Yeah. Of course, I wouldn't have any details on that. But and then anger management. So those would be his two things. Kevin, all right. Now, you're the judge. This young man is in front of you. You've heard what he's done. You get to pick any sentence you want. You still sticking with death?
I think we could use fewer people in this country.
I knew it. I knew you were going to stay with death.
I think we're fine. I think we're good on people. It's not like if we get rid of this guy, oh, no, population might go away. We're all good.
So Judge Ryder says hoax phone call equals death.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he is facing, and again, April 16th is the sentencing, and I'll let you know when. He is facing up to 15 years in prison.
Wow.
And up to $500,000 in fines and restitution when he is sentenced. He has already agreed to pay restitution in the amount of reimbursing the emergency response costs, Lisa, as you suggested. And he has also agreed to write an apology letter to every passenger who was on Flight 1267 when it was delayed.
That's funny. He should be every one of those family slaves for a week. Wash the car, do the laundry, vacuum, anything they want him to do.
Now, I don't know how useful, you know, 2 years after your flight was called back to the terminal, I don't know how useful that letter is from this guy or how sincere you believe it is, but it is funny that that's one of the things that he's already agreed to.
I like the $500,000 getting paid back, and I like Lisa's idea of the guy having to work until it's done.
Yeah.
But the 15 years in prison, maybe?
No,
maybe a little much.
Crazy.
Well, I mean, that could just be the blanket possibility if you're involved in any kind of an FAA crime.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's possible he won't get anywhere close. That's possible he won't get any jail time at all, but I will definitely keep an eye on this and get back to you. But that's what he is facing. He's a pizza cook, by the way.
Oh.
So however many hundreds of thousands of dollars he ends up paying back, it's going to take him a while. That's for sure.
That is going to take a lot of pizza.
I think that would be the reminder every week when that's taken out of your paycheck. Maybe don't make dumbass phone calls.
And his girlfriend's going to dump him because he can't take her to dinner.
She should.
Yeah. I wondered if they're even still together. Because what a burn for him to do that, thinking he was helping her out. And then if they break up a week later, now what?
Yeah. Yeah, that should happen.
So good times.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin Abijo Show, shall we?
Please. The adults are talking right now.
Having a contest today for you to win the tickets to Muse. As you know, you get Muse's album, The Second Law, and you get on the standby boarding list to see Muse in Paris, France.
Nice.
So we got that coming up in the next hour.
Well, actually, we're giving away tickets in the next hour. Muse tickets to see them next week at Staples Center, and the prize you described is at 9:10 this morning.
Which is exactly what I meant to say. Yes. Michael Schneider from TV Guide telling us all about the brand new show starring Jessica Simpson.
Oh, thank God they talked her back into television.
It's not even a reality show. It is a sitcom. So
actress, Kevin.
She's going to deliver lines, as only she can do. Comedian Nick Kroll on the program today. Very excited about that. Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage.
Yeah.
And in the 8 o'clock hour, we have Dave Grohl and Corey Taylor.
What?
How about that? Both in the studio. Dave Grohl's behind a movie called Sound City, which
sounds
is based
great.
On a recording studio that pretty much everybody in the world has used. And pretty much everyone in the world is in this movie.
Yeah.
It looks fascinating. So that's the 8 o'clock hour this morning as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
Linkin Park, also Radiohead of Monsters and Men, all on the way in the next few minutes here on K-Rock. It's Wednesday morning. Ralph joins us now for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's Hollywood talking about today, Ralph?
Oh, first of all, before they're talking about anything, I have tickets to give away.
Oh.
I have things to reward our early morning listeners. This is a pretty cool event. I love Bellator. Remember when he said, fight He-Man? It was great. I have the power! Ah! Oh, so He-Man. You'll never catch me, Bellator. Remember this?
No.
Oh. No, Bellator MMA is what I'm talking about. It's the event that's happening this Thursday, January the 17th. Hey, that's tomorrow.
That is.
At the Bren Event Center in Irvine, California. It will be carried live on Spike TV, our favorite network of all the networks.
Does Spike have any good shows, Ralph?
Has nothing but good shows.
Hmm.
Anybody watch Joe Schmo last night?
No, I taped it. I didn't watch it yet.
You're no help.
Can't wait.
You're no help. It's happening on Thursday. How'd you like to go? You want to go see some live MMA action? Pretty good fights, too. Lightweight and featherweight world championships like Hahn versus Chandler, Kerbin versus Pitbull. You want to check it out? You can go to Bellator.com. And if you enter the promo code MMAKROQ, you get $10.67 off of any ticket, and you receive a free K-Rock Bellator t-shirt. Or you can be one of the first callers right now at 1-800-520-1067. Actually, be the first caller. And you will get a four-pack of tickets to see the event live on Thursday down there in Irvine. And as I mentioned, if you can't be there in person, you can check it out on Spike TV this Thursday night. So there's all your details on the Bellator MMA. Now let's get to showbiz news. This is scary on so many levels. Charlie Sheen announced last night on the David Letterman Show that his oldest daughter, Cassandra Estevez, is pregnant with her first child. That's right. Charlie Sheen's going to be a grandfather.
All right.
But how old is the girl?
It does not say here, Lisa.
12. 28.
28. There you go. Right. That's all you need to know. What else you got, Lisa?
Charlie Sheen, a grandfather.
Yeah. I hope she gives him a lot of babysitting duties. I hope that.
Hey, he wants a blow?
There you go. Winning. With a kid in like a blender. Some warm water for the bath. Just turns it on.
It'd be weird to drop the kid off at Grandpa's house not knowing which porn star is going to be taking care of it that week.
Which grandma goddess is going to enter the door. Let alone! In the news again, the W Hotel in Manhattan apparently very upset with Lindsay. They're still cleaning up, they claim, after her visit last fall. Her suite had so many cigarette burns they had to change all the carpets, one source. She did at least $50,000 worth of damage while partying.
Wow.
Yeah.
How is there $50,000 worth of anything in a hotel room?
It's a W, dude.
50 grand for one room?
It's probably a suite.
Think about it.
It's probably a suite.
All right.
That's crazy amount of money.
Room suite.
She just leaves a trail of destruction everywhere she goes, doesn't she?
She does, including her own personal life, because word is from TMZ.com, she just fired her longtime attorney, Sean Holly, and rejected a plea bargain that apparently was coming from the prosecutor's office regarding these misdemeanor charges related to that car crash last summer.
Excellent!
So now she's going to have to go in with a new lawyer, and she's entering a not guilty plea, so she's going to have to face a trial, which is just not what she should have.
This attorney that she fired is the one who's been doing an excellent job of keeping her out of jail, right?
It's her female lawyer, Sean Holly. Sean did one last favor for her, did show up yesterday for her court date and give her some enter some not guilty pleas on her behalf. But her new attorney is a guy named Mark Heller. He is a very controversial, flamboyant lawyer who, by the way, was suspended from practicing law for 5 years in 1994.
All right.
This sounds like an episode of a sitcom.
All right.
He was disbarred, but he's still practicing law. She's a wacky movie star. Everybody excited about the premiere of American Idol tonight?
No.
Come on!
No. Really, a lot no.
Very no.
It's Nicki Minaj!
Yeah.
Sure, in a couple of months.
She sure has wacky hair.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If you're a big fan of Nicki Minaj like Kevin is, you'll be happy to know Kmart has announced that Nicki Minaj will have her own clothing line for Kmart.
All right.
Who could you want to dress like less than Nicki Minaj, if you're anyone?
She does look like a clown.
Let's say, and Bozo is having his own line of... Adam Levine, by the way.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't either.
Oh, my God. I'm so... Oh, my God. No, oh, my
either.
God.
I don't either. Adam Levine, by the way, also is going to have his own clothing line for Kmart.
Sure.
Makes a little bit more sense. The guy's sort of stylish. Nicki Minaj just looks like Walt Disney threw up all over her. And while we're along that line of topic, maybe the greatest story ever. You know Tony Danza?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Famous sitcom actor. He was on Taxi for many seasons, and then he had an equally successful sitcom called Who's the Boss that he was on.
That famous
80s or 90s?
Yeah. Famous song about him, the Hold Me Closer Tony Danza, that song, right? That's him?
That's Tiny Dancer, but a good reference.
Elton John fans are very happy they tuned in this morning.
Put that in the file.
He recently did a reality show called Teach, where he went back and got his teaching credentials.
That was
an English teacher.
Yeah. Right.
Anyway, he didn't make any friends on his recent first-class flight to New York City. According to the New York Post, he was in first class. This story just gets better and better as I go along. Started not feeling so well.
Uh-oh.
Then started... vomiting all over the first class section on an American Airlines flight. Some of the other big name passengers riding up there with him were a little freaked out, including who's the one person you don't want to be throwing up in front of?
Throwing up in front
of all the people in the world, who do you not want to be throwing up in front of?
Well, I would say whoever the hottest chick is at the time, Megan Fox or somebody. You don't want to. Yeah, that's not how you want her to see you.
Apparently, Kate Upton, who was sitting near Tony, was not impressed by his behavior. Said he had a little 24-hour bug. He's feeling much better, everyone, so don't have to worry about Tony. But that's
wow.
A bad situation.
Did he hit on her afterwards?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. We might have to talk to Tony.
Oh, God, this is so disgusting. I think I'm going to puke.
Maybe we'll have a phone call with Tony later on this week.
Tony.
Dan. Zah.
What? Why would anyone have that ever?
It's a sex move.
It's not.
It is, though.
But it isn't.
Well,
it's just a guy. It's a robot saying a man's name.
It's your word against mine.
No, it's my word against everyone's ears.
Maybe Kevin's tried it. Maybe you don't know, Ralph.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays.
It involves throwing up in first class.
I bet it does. Sade. Remember Sade? Smooth
sure.
operator?
Sure. Yeah.
54 years old today. David Chokichi from Baywatch is 45. Roy Jones Jr., pound for pound, still one of the best fighters I've ever seen fight. 44 years old today. Supermodel Kate Moss is 39.
Nobel, even though she's a model.
Nobel. Nobel Peace Prize. Ravens quarterback Joe Flacco is 28. Nick Valenzi of The Strokes, guitarist for that band, is 32. And remember a singer-songwriter named Jill Sobule? Remember Jill Sobule?
No. Yeah. She kissed a girl, right?
She had a massive hit with that song, I Kissed a Girl. This is it. A little taste of it.
They can have their diamonds and we'll have our pearls. I kissed a girl for the first time. I kissed a girl and I may do it again. I kissed a girl.
Is there anybody less happy with Katy Perry's success than Jill Sobule?
Yeah, no kidding.
How furious must she be?
Wait,
I wrote a song. The exact same song I wrote, practically. I kissed a girl. She wrote a kiss. Look at her career. Look at my career.
Yeah, well, look at her and look at you.
Where did things go wrong? Jill Sobule's very upset today.
Yeah.
But it's still her birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Those sold-out tickets to Muse that we told you about next week at Staples Center, if you want to go, you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. We have a way that you can earn the tickets, and I'm warning you now, especially at this time of day, it's a very painful way to win. It's going to hurt,
yeah.
But someone's going to walk away with the tickets. 1-800-520-1067. How's Muggs holding up? He looks like he's hurting today.
Well, he's been on the verge of suicide for a couple of days now. And we're trying to push him in that direction. I don't know. I don't know what else we can do.
We could have had this conversation yesterday, but I felt like we might be criminally in charge or responsible somehow if he had pulled the trigger yesterday. I felt
sure.
like he was so close that any person could see that it's not wise to discuss.
Well, Beer Mug is going to make up for it today because he's got some great interviews. He went to the world premiere of The Last Stand, which is the new Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
Yeah, everybody's talking about that. Yeah, the new Schwarzenegger movie. He's back. That's right. I'm very excited.
So Muggs went to The Last Stand, stood on the red carpet, got a bunch of interviews. Muggs, were you happy with the way it went?
It actually went pretty well.
All right.
Yeah.
So the first one that we have is Luis Guzman.
Yeah. Oh, I love him. He's a great
actor.
Great
terrific
actor.
Yep.
Go ahead and play that interview, Muggs.
I don't really have that interview.
I thought you said you...
You did talk to him,
right?
Yeah, well, I talked to Luis, you know, with my device and
let's play it because we're running out of time.
I don't have it.
What about Kelly Hawk?
Yeah, she plays Shelby on The New Girl.
Oh, she's great.
Yeah, you talked to her?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let's play that one.
I don't have that one either.
What about Jamie Alexander?
Yeah, she's the main actress in The Last Stand.
You
interviewed
talk to her?
Yeah.
Oh, was that good?
Yeah, it went really well.
Can we hear that?
Let's hear that.
Can we hear any of the interviews?
Don't have that one.
The director?
Yeah, the Korean director.
Let's hear that.
Yeah, don't have that.
Governor Schwarzenegger?
Ooh, you talked to Arnold?
He went down the entire red carpet press line, and he was gracious enough to talk to me.
You talked to Arnold Schwarzenegger?
I did.
Want us to hear that one?
Let's hear that.
That's
awesome.
I wish I could play it for you guys, but I don't have it.
What's the problem, Muggs? Come on, we want to hear these interviews. That's why we sent you.
I was trying to do too much at the end of the red carpet, and I was going through this recording device to mark the tracks to help Omar out.
Can I speed this up?
Yeah.
Because this is going to take you a half hour.
No, I'll get to it.
He erased all of the interviews. And then had the goal yesterday to say, I don't know, I think it's some of my best work.
It really was.
Come on.
You
erased the interviews?
Muggs talked to Arnold Schwarzenegger and then erased it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why?
Came back with nothing.
Why? I was trying to do too much, and I was going through this device, which is impossible to navigate, and
Well, at least you realized that and didn't try.
Yeah, it reformatted the whole entire card with every interview on it.
So the problem is you were trying to be too good.
Well,
he overperformed.
Yeah.
It sounds like, Muggs, please correct me if I'm wrong, but it's not your fault, is what it sounds like.
No,
it sounds like the device is to blame, the way you're telling the story.
Look.
Yeah, because it's so complex.
Right. Look. It is my fault. It is my fault.
So you don't have any interviews?
No.
Okay. All right. I'm happy with that. Muse tickets coming up.
Comedian Nick Kroll joins us next hour right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And then two of our faves, Dave Grohl is going to be in studio, and the return of Corey Taylor from Slipknot. They'll both be here talking about the Sound City documentary movie and the All-Star concert that's happening. Again, you can get the details at krock.com on that. Tickets go on sale for the show at noon today.
We should probably do the business before we get to the game, Bean, because after the game, no one's going to be interested in the business.
Yeah, you're right. DJ Omar Khan joins us in studio. If you are looking for a great DJ for any kind of event that you have coming up, you should go to his website, djomarkhan.com, or hit him up on email at omar@krock.com. He is a great DJ, but I'll tell you two things about Omar that you need to know. One, don't ask for requests.
That's true.
I won't play it.
He's going to play what you don't even know you want to hear, but trust me, you'll enjoy it. And two is, I promise you, and this is going to be really important to you in about 5 minutes, he won't sing at your event. Omar will not be singing
unless I get really drunk.
Nope. You don't have to worry about that. Omar, you might be the worst singer ever, but man, can you sell it.
Yes, I do.
But at least Muse songs are easy to sing.
Oh, wait.
So we got that going for us as we play the game.
Omar Oki as a singer. Omar's really lame. So we wish you luck, because he sucks. If you guess, you win the game.
All right, yes, we are playing for Muse tickets. They got a bunch of sold-out shows at Staples Center next week, and we are going to hook you up right now at 1-800-520-1067. All you have to do is identify the Muse song that Omar is singing for you. I know it's hard to believe, but he will be singing a Muse song. You just tell us what it is. Let's start with, I guess it's Lukey. Lukey is on line one.
Lukey, Lukey.
Hi, Lukey.
Is your name like Tukey?
All right, Lukey, you ready to play? Omar's going to sing. You just have to tell us what Muse song it is, okay?
Okay.
Good luck.
No one's going to take me alive. The time has come to make things right.
That's plenty.
She should know it by now.
You and my mind. Okay.
She should already know this one.
Stop right there.
She's
thank you, Omar.
Lukey, must fight to survive.
Lukey, what song is that, please?
Surprise?
Very sorry. That is Knights of Sidonia.
No one's gonna take.
Yeah. You see, they were harmonizing. If I had a couple of people in here, I would sound exactly the same like that.
Nope.
Yep.
Mike is our next contestant. He joins us on line two here on the Kevin and Bean Show, playing for Muse tickets. Hey, I forgot to ask. Do we have Muse tickets for everyone, or are we doing a drawing?
No, we're doing a drawing.
Yeah.
Doing a drawing. So you get it right. You get into the drawing. Lisa is keeping track. Hey, Mike, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Did you get that last one?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. That was kind of easy. All right. Here's Omar, and we apologize in advance. Good luck.
And now I have finally seen the light, and I have finally realized.
Yes, he said madness.
Yes, he said madness. He said it.
No, you can't sing with him. Anybody can do that.
Mike, I did a pretty good job, right?
All right, you're in the drawing,
Mike. Yeah, that's pretty good.
You see? There you go.
Hey, thank you to all of the contestants who jump out with the answer in the first few seconds so that Omar can stop singing.
That does help us.
I hope that Carolyn is able to do that, too. She is on line three, and she's our next contestant on Omar Oki. Good morning, Carolyn.
Oh, hello.
Hi there.
Good luck. Here's Omar.
My life, you electrify my life.
Resistance.
Let's conspire to
Say it again.
Resistance.
What? No, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Starlight. That's we were looking for Starlight.
No,
you can't sing with the clip. That's not fair.
Are you talking about he's singing with the band?
Right, but that's his gig.
All right, next time I'm bringing in a band.
Okay.
Let's try Steven on line four, our next contestant on Omar Oki. Good morning, Steven.
Hi.
All right, here's your song from Omar. Good luck.
They will not force us. They will stop degrading.
Uprising is correct.
You got it.
Uprising
he said is it. Correct. He said it.
Yes, he got it. Right, we got it. We got it.
All right, we only have time for one more. Kevin, I want you to jump down to Linda on line 7 because Linda has a story to tell us before she plays Omoroki. Linda, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
You drove to California from where to see Muse?
Louisiana, a very small town called Marksville.
This is you with your two dogs and a cat driving across country to see Muse, and you don't have tickets for the show.
That's right. I'm just going to show up and hope for the best.
Wow! Don't they play concerts closer to where you live in Louisiana?
Country.
Country music. No, we're saying Muse.
I mean, Muse hasn't come anywhere near you? They didn't play New Orleans or Atlanta or any place closer to you?
No. The only cool band that we've had is Group Love, and that was a very small venue. No one listens to that music there.
You need to move.
Okay. All right. Well, you've heard how the game is played, Linda. I'm sad that this is probably the first time you've ever heard the Kevin and Bean Show because you're new to our state. I hope you don't think this is what we always do, okay?
And just to be...
I'm impressed so far.
Just to be clear up front, there are no tickets for your two dogs and a cat.
Okay.
Crazy woman. All right. Here's your song. Good luck.
Oh, baby, don't you know I suffer? Oh, baby, don't you hear me moan? You got me under false pretenses. How long before you let me go?
All right. That's fine, Omar. Thank you, Omar. Thanks, Omar. All right, Linda, to get into the
drawing. You set my soul alive.
All right. Thank you. That's enough. To get into the drawing, what new song is that, please?
I'm going with Hysteria.
Oh, supermassive black hole.
It's not her fault. You listen to Omar.
It's not your day is what it isn't.
That is very sad. Have a great drive back to Louisiana without seeing Muse. All right. I think Mike is in the drawing. I think, I don't know who the hell else. Lisa, who's our winner?
Our winner is Steven.
Steven.
Yay!
Congratulations, Steven.
Woo!
You got tickets?
Oh, my God.
You're going to see Muse. The girl from Louisiana is driving back home.
Oh, jeez.
Thanks for playing the game.
Oh, Maroki, that's our game, and how much fun we had. Now you know that I didn't lie when I told you he was pretty bad.
Is now in the box in the ground. They have very similar qualities. They're both decomposing corpses, talentless, lifeless, soulless.
First, though, what else is going on in showbiz this morning?
Gar smash! You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. This is what's going on in show business. Tragic news for Bean.
Uh-oh. What?
And other freak show fans who watch that goddamn Here Comes Honey Boo Boo show.
What's going on with my boo?
Oh, man.
Stop it.
Stop it, Uncle Creepy.
We need a new character in the show, yeah. Uncle Creepy.
Oh, we got one.
Because Mama June has banned Crazy Uncle Tony.
Oh, not yeah. Crazy Uncle Tony.
No. Crazy Tony, rather. Crazy
nothing
Tony.
Nothing but trouble. Nothing but trouble, that dude.
Tony Lindsay, who is referred to by the family as their cousin, even though he's not related, has been banned from the show by Mama June. She says that she pulled the plug on Crazy Tony after he was arrested in November for wearing, and I quote, a giant gorilla suit and scaring people who were driving on the freeway in their hometown.
I feel sad.
How is that not good?
How is that worse than anything else any of these other people have done?
He should be rewarded.
Kevin would put that guy on his TV show.
I would.
Kevin would marry Crazy Tony. Anyway, so Crazy Tony will no longer be featured on Honey Boo Boo show because you just can't have Crazy Tony running around in a gorilla suit.
You don't want to bring the quality of that show down.
You don't want to bring any actual entertainment to the show.
He is a little bit of a loose cannon. I think he's the one who is getting them all on ATVs and getting them to drive like super fast off road and having them turn over and people get hurt and stuff.
Getting them to do it. What does he do?
He's a daredevil.
Bring out a shotgun and force them to get on the ATVs.
He's our Kevin, the guy who has the bad idea but is able to talk everybody else into going along with it because it kind of sounds like fun if you're drinking. Yeah. That's what Tony does for this show.
How dare you?
More reality show news. The Oxygen Network has decided to pull the plug on its reality special, All My Baby's Mamas.
I'm very sad about this news. I was so looking forward to that.
We have turned the corner, perhaps, in American television, where sometimes people go, what the hell were we thinking? This was a horrible show. Let's not put it on the air for a change. All My Baby's Mamas featured the rapper Shawty Lowe. Shawty Lowe has
11 children with 10 different women.
Oh, my God.
And so they were going to do a hilarious reality TV special where Shawty Lowe hangs out with all of his different baby mamas. You see? Because I'm sure all of those kids are being well cared for and raised in a loving, safe environment.
I think, Ralph, they were having them all live together in a big house.
Oh, for F's sake.
Well, that was a miscalculation.
Well, listen, you know me, how I feel about the Parents Television Council.
Yeah.
But that group and several other outraged organizations apparently, through a write-in campaign and phone calls and other meetings they had with the Oxygen Network, was able to change the minds of the network, saying that this was a bad idea, not just because it's bad television, but a woman named Sabrina Lamb, who was spearheading the drive to stop the show's airing, said, "We will not support any network or advertiser which exploits the plight of children and targets young women with stereotypical, dangerous, unsafe messages." And you know me, I'm Mr. Free Speech, and I do not like the Parents Television Council, but I think in this particular case, they may have had a point that this is not necessarily the most, not a subject, perhaps, that should be treated as lightly as to make a mockery out of it in a reality show.
But even though they may occasionally be right, we can't take their side.
No, I know, but there's other organizations involved, okay. Like Change.org, and there were
let's give them the credit.
There were a bunch of legitimate organizations that also showed some concern.
I think there were a lot of African American activism groups too that said, "Look, nobody needs this. This sets our cause back 50 years putting this on TV."
It's already a rampant problem in the African American community, single motherhood and children out of wedlock and stuff, and it causes a lot of people to lead very difficult, complex lives. And I think to make it fodder for a goofy reality show does show a certain amount of.
But I heard they were voting one of the kids off every week.
Now I'm in. They're going to do that. Yeah, it just sounds awful. Are you ready for American Idol tonight?
Not at all.
I don't think I can, Ralph. I'm not ready.
The Mariah Minaj face-off?
Well, we won't see that for a couple of months, right? They're just in the going around city to city with the
at least in the old
auditions,
days,
right?
I don't know anything about any of this.
At least in the old days, they used to show the really bad ones a lot.
Yeah.
And that was entertaining at the beginning. But then they stopped doing that, so I'm out completely.
You want to be on one of these shows?
No.
No.
Because a college in the UK is now offering a course called Auditioning for X Factor.
Specifically that show?
Bishop Auckland College is offering a 17-week course to help you audition for the X Factor. You have to understand, Kevin, in the UK, the X Factor is much bigger than it is here in the States. The X Factor is like their American Idol.
It's like American Idol used to be.
It's a huge...
And creates legitimate stars, too.
Well, easy. Created One Direction. I don't know if they're legitimate stars or not. But you can now sign up for a course at Bishop Auckland College, which will offer you the ability to learn how to sing, perform, and project confidence enough to get past the auditioners at the X Factor and get on the show.
The instructor?
The reason that you're shaking up this whole competition is that you dare to dance in the path of greatness.
Yeah, indeed. Wouldn't that be great if she was your teacher?
That'd be awesome.
I am a gift. Lesson one, I am a gift.
She's the female me, isn't she?
She is. She's the female Kevin. Today's celebrity birthdays. Quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens, Joe Flacco, 28 years old. Joe Flacco is from the Philadelphia area.
Oh, is that
to
right?
To hear him talk, he's definitely got a Philadelphia accent.
That's an annoying accent.
I'm Joe Flacco. Yeah, we played a really good team right there, and I think we did a really good job. He's 28 years old today. Nick Valencia of the Strokes is 32. Supermodel Kate Moss celebrates her 39th birthday. Boxer Roy Jones Jr. is 44. David Chokichi from Baywatch turns 45 years old today. And singer Sade, 54. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
January 31st is going to be a huge night. That's the L.A. premiere of Sound City, the new documentary about that legendary recording studio at the Cinerama Dome. And afterwards, the Sound City Players featuring Dave Grohl, Brad Wilk from Rage Against the Machine, Stevie Nicks, Rick Springfield, John Fogerty, all the guys from Foo Fighters and so much more are going to be rocking the Palladium. We're going to have tickets to both of those to give away next hour. Plus, Dave Grohl will be here along with Corey Taylor from Slipknot. That's 1 hour from right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Not to sell Michael Schneider short.
No, we're Schneider's equally excited about having the Schneider on. Are you kidding me?
I'm Schneider.
Michael Schneider joins us from TVGuide.com and on Twitter at Franklin Avenue. How are you, Michael?
I'm good. Hey, party people, what is up?
Do you have a party going on
there
behind you?
Are you in a subway station, Michael?
No, you know what? I'm hiding from my screaming kids right now.
Oh, I see. So you're running the house trying to get away.
Gotcha. Exactly. Well, you dealt Ralph a scoop yesterday, a showbiz scoop that he reported with great disgust on the air, and we wanted to get some more details about this this story. Tell everybody what news you broke yesterday.
I know. Well, so yesterday, broke at about 9 o'clock a.m., yes, Jessica Simpson of Newlyweds fame and fashion star fame is likely coming to TV as a sitcom star.
No. You sent this to me. You sent this to me just to piss me off, didn't you, Mike?
I really did.
Yeah.
To be honest, I was at the zoo. I had a bucket of red meat, and I decided to throw it in the lion's den, and then just watch what happens. And you know what? You lived up to my expectations, Ralph. So thank you.
It's inconceivable to me that NBC, that's already struggling in the arena of comedy, would make this decision based on. On nothing. I don't even get it. She's not even a red hot reality show property anymore.
Right.
Fashion Star, to the best of my knowledge, you know better than me, Mike. Fashion Star was not a big hit for the network, right?
It was just okay. It did okay. It did well enough though for them to bring it back for a second year, believe it or not.
Well, sure, because they're NBC.
So.
But this is a sitcom. She has to deliver lines, right?
Yeah. I think their feeling is that, in a way, Newlyweds and all the reality stuff she's done has been a sitcom, and essentially she's playing herself, so it shouldn't be too taxing on her.
But she's not playing herself. She's an idiot, and we're pointing and laughing at her, which is very different than having to perform and read lines and actually deliver a performance. I mean, haven't they seen the Dukes of Hazzard?
Maybe they did not. This goes to the heart of the battle going on over comedy right now. What direction do you go in comedy? Do you go more mainstream, or do you go, with the sort of the classic, quality esoteric stuff like Community, 30 Rock, and all that?
Well, let's split the difference and just hire talented people. Let's just do that.
Yeah,
it was much worse than you even reported, Michael. When I read this actual quote from Ben Silverman, founder of Electus, who used to work for NBC, and now he apparently is producing this sitcom pilot. He said, "We are thrilled to team up with the multi-talented Jessica Simpson to bring this new sitcom to life on NBC. She is truly a modern-day Lucy with incredible comedic chops." What is any of this based on?
Speaking of walking in the lion's den, that was probably an unfortunate comparison for me.
Unbelievable.
But at least the guy
writing it has some good stuff. At least Paul Blart Mall Cop
and Zookeeper fame
is what we're looking at for the writer.
Well, we should see. You never know what'll come out of this.
Yes, you do.
Yes, I do. Crap do, will Michael. Come out of this.
Michael, this is the voice of Michael Schneider here on the Kevin DeBean Show. He is the LA Bureau Chief for TV Guide. Let me ask you this. Are we just at the point now where you're trying to get eyeballs on your channel, and it's just easier if you have a recognizable person? Whatever anyone thinks about Jessica Simpson, at least most of us know who she is, and that's an easier sell than trying to introduce a new star to America?
Bean, you're a genius. You hit the nail on the head.
Take it easy.
That's where we're going with a lot of this stuff. I mean, NBC just spent a lot of money to pick up 22 episodes of a Michael J. Fox comedy, which is coming out in the fall. And a good chunk of that is, people are going to want to tune in to see Michael J. Fox, what he looks like, how he can handle a sitcom now, and whether or not, he's up to the challenge. It's going to get eyeballs.
But Michael J. Fox, though, I mean, he has a long history of great work in television and in movies. That guy has comedic chops. We know he can deliver, and we've seen that on multiple occasions. I mean, the channel's lucky to get Michael J. Fox. That's not a fair comparison.
Yeah. Well, I think the comparison is, I hate to say it, but, and you guys have talked about Jessica Simpson quite a bit the past couple of years because she's, getting pregnant every 7 months.
Sure.
That people still do care about her. I mean, she is a multi-million dollar businesswoman because people are buying her products. They're watching her still on reality TV. And
really? She's still that successful?
She's that spokesperson on Weight Watchers, and now she's pregnant again. And actually, the opening of this show will sort of revolve around her giving birth. So you know, I hate to say it, guys, but there is a portion of.
I'd like to stop you right here. I'd like to stop you right here.
No, I absolutely can understand that, Michael. And it wouldn't surprise me if they did a reality show about her pregnancy or something. I have no problem with her being on TV in general because I know there is a freak show factor and people want to watch her. But the idea of writing a script for her and demanding her to give a performance in front of an audience and create a sitcom around her, anyone who cares anything about the form the form of television comedy would be incensed by this concept.
Well, you know, most of these reality shows, as we know, are pretty much scripted anyway. So
yeah.
Think of it that way. It's not that much different from her doing a reality show.
Think of it this way. It'll only air two or three episodes. No, be gone.
Too many. Three episodes too many.
When will we see this one on our television, Michael?
Well, first off, you know, they've got to shoot the pilot. So it could always be so bad that it never makes it on the air. But if it does, then it probably would show up sometime next season. So they got to work around her pregnancy. They got to work around her schedule, and you know it's a busy schedule she's got.
It's funny how they hold on to this old idea about television in the face of success of like a Modern Family, where we knew barely nobody on that show, really, in that cast. And
New Girl,
the same thing. These comedies that become hits because they're crafted by funny, talented writers, and they cast funny, talented actors.
Well, you know what's missing from TV right now? Where are all the good stand-ups that turn into sitcom stars? You know, the Ray Romanos of the world who, you know, sort of came up through that world. And a lot of people are wondering, well, where's the next generation of good sitcom or stand-up stars who can, you know, turn into big sitcom
stars? The answer, Jessica Simpson.
Jessica Simpson. Hilarious on the stage, hilarious on the screen.
Well, we appreciated you tipping us off to this news, and please keep us posted as to what's going on with this story. And, you know, maybe we'll luck out, there'll be a plane crash or something, and none of this will ever happen. He is the TV Guide Magazine LA Bureau Chief, Michael Schneider, Franklin Avenue. You can follow him on Twitter, and franklinavenue.net is the website, or tvguide.com. Michael, thanks for joining us today, man. We appreciate the time.
Absolutely, guys.
So I was noticing the other day, Kevin, a guy that shows up on all the shows that I love, whether it's Community or Parks and Rec or The Life and Times of Tim or Children's Hospital or The League, American Dad. I mean, he's just on all the shows. And then I thought, why can't Nick Kroll keep a job? Why does he keep having to go to all the shows in the world just to stay employed? What's the problem, Nick?
Just on a national tour of burning bridges.
It does seem like, and I know that there's a recession on, but it seems like you're one of those guys who has no full-time job but has 17 part-time jobs to keep the mortgage paid.
You got to. You know what I mean? I have five ex-wives, and I'm just trying to stay
Sweet.
Above water.
Yeah. Sweet. 15 well, kids?
Yeah, and I love them each. I love each and every one of them.
Nick Kroll is here because he does have his own show called The Kroll Show, which is premiering tonight on Comedy Central at 10:30. And this is, how do you describe this? This is sketch comedy, I guess, is one way, right?
It is sketch comedy. I would say the difference is that it's a lot of the characters on the show recur throughout the season. So it's somewhere at the intersection of sketch comedy and classics, almost sitcoms, so that you've got a bunch of almost like mini series that you're watching throughout. It's all woven together. It's a sort of a multi-part sketch show that
kind of like Portlandia in that way, where you do have plenty of recurring characters.
Yeah, Jonathan Kreisel, who is the director and executive producer, is also the director and executive producer of Portlandia.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Love that. How about that?
Yeah, so spot on, man.
How do you feel you look as a woman? Because you certainly play one often enough.
Oh, man.
Can I answer that?
Yes.
You look terrible. You look terrible as a woman.
Does that make you sad or happy?
No, I think that makes me happy.
Okay.
If you were too convincing, you'd go, I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, it still turns me on, but I don't know why that is. So I just accept it.
Look, like it's not shameful enough to be a comedian for a living. Now at some point you're getting your hair and makeup and your boobs put in for work. And you have to be thinking, gosh, I hope my parents don't watch this.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they have.
Oh, that's too bad.
But it gave me actually a great insight into being a woman and like wearing high heels. And I was like, ladies, I don't know how you do this because it's a nightmare. Just shoving your feet into these like tiny little canoes with chopsticks on the end.
It really does look absurdly ridiculous. And a lot of them can walk really well in them.
I know.
Not the Lena, what's her name? Lena Dunham?
Lena Dunham.
She looks like she had her feet cut off.
Yeah. That's the people's choice. She's like a baby deer standing up on ice for the first time.
That is one of the rules of being on HBO. You have to have your foot bound like a geisha.
Okay.
Lisa, why do you women continue to wear those high heels? Why don't you all just get together and have a meeting and go, you know what? These are BS. We're not going to do it anymore.
Because women don't work together. I would love it if we would do that. But someone always wants the edge. Right. So they know they'll look taller and thinner and hotter in heels. So then they go do that.
I know. But I do feel like guys got together and they're like, all right, what do you guys say? Just... sneakers, just walk around like we got tiny little mattresses on our feet.
Do nothing.
I think we do win.
Yeah, yep. I think so.
I do too. I think so.
Now, we were having a conversation earlier about the state of television and how decisions are made about what gets on the air.
Right.
And Comedy Central, I mean, they have done a fantastic job of really carving out a niche where they have found some of the funniest and most creative people and figured out a way. I mean, I'm thinking about the Jim Jefferies show that's coming on. I'm thinking about a bunch of shows. They have found
Louis,
a way.
Is Louis on FX?
That's FX, yeah. FX. And, FX, and Jefferies' show as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I apologize. But, yeah, some of these basic cable channels like yours have figured out a way to kind of really play to the strengths of those people rather than just trying to shoehorn them into something that they think is for everyone. It's just going to be a mainstream, everyone will like it hit.
Yeah, I think, you know, you guys were talking about where the next, you know, where the comedians, the next round of sitcoms and stuff. And there are still, I have some friends who are developing shows on the networks and are really, really funny people. And hopefully they'll be able to get it through. But I'd say for the most part, you know, being on cable, the budgets are a little smaller, so the risks are a little smaller, so you can take a shot on a show like Louis and just have him deliver a DVD, you know, for $300,000 an episode, the exact show he wants to make, and then it works. Or you know, like The League, which is I'm also
which
on
is great, yeah.
Thank you. And my show, which is the budgets are a little smaller, but mm-hmm. you know, it's a specific vision. And Comedy Central really let us go make exactly the show we want to make,
which is good, because you see somebody like Whitney Cummings, for example, and she's a funny stand-up, and then you watch her TV show and you go, wow, where'd the funny go?
Yeah.
It's kind of a bummer, you know, when they try and force them into...
Because they put it on NBC, that's why.
Yeah, well,
right?
Well, I am excited for the Jessica Simpson, the show, though.
No,
of course.
And by the way, Jeffrey Ross comes to mind. They found a perfect way to use him on Comedy Central. On the Burn, right, which is a great show. Daniel Tosh, obviously, is a comedic genius. That's a perfect show for him, and he couldn't do that show on a big network.
Yeah, or Children's Hospital, like my friend Rob Corddry's show, or NTSF with my friend Paul Scheer's show. I mean, these are all smaller shows.
Those are both Adult Swim.
Adult Swim shows. So there's a couple places on cable, and now with Amazon and Netflix, and there's going to be Arrested Development going on there.
Oh, I mean, that's, can't wait.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different places. There may be a few less eyeballs on it, but more places for people to get, you know, their vision out.
This is the voice of comedian actor Nick Kroll here on the Kevin Bean Show, talking about Kroll's show premiering tonight on Comedy Central. Hey, you mentioned Paul Scheer and you mentioned Rob Corddry. Now, those guys are friends of ours as well. I want you to drop a name so big that we don't know them.
You know, when I was spending time playing squash with my good friend Ben Stiller last week. And,
good. Nice. Yeah, that's good. That's
you weren't,
impressive.
Though, were you? You no, just made
I
was, that up. That's
I
all
just
right.
made that up.
You sold it.
All right, thank you.
Nick Kroll is here. The Kroll Show, Comedy Central, 10:30 tonight. We'll take a break and come right back. Mr. Dave Grohl and Mr. Corey Taylor joining us in the 8 o'clock hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about the new documentary Sound City, and we'll hook you up with tickets to see the movie, see the All-Star Concert. That's all on the way. Right now, Nick Kroll in studio with us from Comedy Central. The Kroll Show debuts tonight. Hey, are you really hungover, or are you just joking about that, Nick? Because you sound fine.
I am very hungover. Right now.
Tell us about last night.
Yeah, we had a little screening of the show last night for some friends and family, and Ralph actually before was like, were you overserved last night? And I was like, no, I was served just correctly.
They gave you what you asked for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A bunch of bourbon.
I'm sure when you agreed to come on the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:15 in the morning, you thought, oh, that'll be fine. I'll be doing great on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you put two and two together and you go, oh, Tuesday night, now it's 1 a.m. What do I do?
Yeah. Yeah, I drink like a couple liters of water, take two Advil, and just set my alarm, like my cell phone, on loud.
Yeah,
yeah.
Tell folks for maybe who aren't familiar with some of these characters, and some of the characters we'll see on the new Kroll Show are characters we've seen you do before. But who are some of your more popular ones that you think people will be excited to see on the TV?
Well, there's a character named Bobby Bottle Service who I've been doing for a while. Who I did on the web, and he's almost like a Jersey Shore guy. And but I started doing it before Jersey Shore came out. But
not as bad as Jersey Shore.
No,
I just like to say.
Yeah. But he's sort of equally ridiculous, even though he's a fake character. Yeah, he. But it's like we did things called like the online called the Ed Hardy Boys, where it's two guys dressed in Ed Hardy and they solve crimes.
Well, sure. Why wouldn't they?
Yeah, Bobby Bottle Service and Peter Paparazzo, my friend John Daly, and then El Chupacabra is like a Latin radio show host. Fabrice, the craft services coordinator for That's So Raven, and then a bunch of new stuff, including this character I do with my friend Jenny Slate. We play two publicists named Liz, and they have a reality show called Publicity. And you were talking about the reality stuff with Jessica Simpson stuff. This is probably more and less scripted than any of the actual reality shows. And then that spins off. Jenny takes her dog to an animal plastic surgeon named Dr. Armand, and then who I also play. And then Armand gets his own show called Armand of the House, which then spins off when he gets divorced to Armand About Town, where he lives at the Sportsman's Lodge.
It's a very complicated world you would have.
Yeah,
it is.
But we put a billboard up of Dr. Armand's canine plastic surgery here in L.A., and a bunch of people thought it was real, including Padma.
Calls?
Yeah.
Including who?
Padma Lakshmi, the host of Top Chef.
Awesome. Oh, I love her so much.
Yeah. So she sees the billboard. She's like, L.A., creepy. She tweets it out.
That's awesome.
And then she writes, and I sort of write to her. I'm like, well, he's in New York, too, trying to be like, hey, Padma, maybe we should talk about this more personally. Yeah. And she then the next day tweets out, like on her like Instagram, she writes, BTW, this is all a joke. It's Chris Kattan.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And so I wrote below that, yeah, I can't wait for Kattan show premiering on Comedy Central after Jobaholics.
By the way, there are people who would take their dog to a plastic surgeon to kind of get some of those roles taken out and tighten up their faces a little bit and make their tails prettier, right? They would totally do that.
I would think so, yeah. Armand has a little magic marker that he works with to mark up the dogs before surgery, and he calls it a Sharpay.
I saw a clip of what looked hilarious. It's the most Canadian thing I've ever seen. Is that on Tonight Show? You know what I'm talking
about?
It
is, yes. It's a sketch called Wheels Ontario. And it's like a Degrassi parody. For anybody out there who's watched Degrassi, the Canadian teen soap melodrama,
sure.
We felt like we wanted to do something like that. So I play a character named Mikey who's new in school. Catherine Hahn plays my mom. And I walk in for my first day at school, and all the kids are in wheelchairs except for me, and they call me Legs. And then it's just Canada jokes. It's like 100 Canada jokes. And it was really fun to do and pretty ridiculous. But it's that sort of boring Canadian polite blandness under the guise of like this teen melodrama.
Well, anyone who could bring curling back to my TV, I support. That's for sure. How long are they giving you on this show? How many episodes are they promising you will air?
They've promised
tonight at 10:30.
Yeah, tonight at 10:30, and we'll see after that.
To 10:45, depending on how the meters are looking.
Canceled before the first commercial break. We shot and we've done 8 episodes, and we've begun writing season 2. Which will, you know, hopefully get picked up before too long, so we can get right back to work, because I have to go back to the league and John Kreisel goes back to Portlandia. So, you know, hopefully they'll let us know soon. It'd be the most fun thing to do to make more of these.
Yeah, well, it's very promising, and I know you've got tons of friends that are stopping by, Fred Armisen and I guess Ed Helms and a bunch of those. I mean, it's so awesome that there's such a community of you guys that love to help each other out, too.
It really is, and that's, you know, like you were saying, the various shows that I've been on, it's like less about, getting fired from jobs and more just a bunch of my friends having different shows that I get to do, and then they come and do my show, and it's pretty amazing.
That's the spin I would put on it if I got fired from a bunch of shows.
Kroll show premieres tonight on Comedy Central. The website, by the way, for Nick personally is nickkroll.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Nick Kroll. So glad you stopped by, man. Good luck with it.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I love the show.
I think it's great those guys follow people around in a bus and sing that live. That's awesome.
I don't think they do that.
I think that's
full time.
In the video. I think they
saw
do that
on
video
television.
Yeah, but that's just the one time.
I don't keep
for
doing
the
that
video.
You guys don't
hey,
know.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday. Corey Taylor from Slipknot and Stone Sour is here. Dave Grohl, moments away, both will be joining us in studio coming up right after the top of the hour. We've got him for the full hour talking about everything that's going on in their worlds in this fantastic Sound City documentary. We give you tickets to see the guys in person. They're doing the show after the movie. Oh, so much good stuff coming up. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on K-Rock.
Before I get to showbiz news, how about attending a red carpet premiere for a major Hollywood blockbuster movie? That sounds something like you.
Depends
like
on the movie.
Oh,
is
yeah?
it the Paul Blart sequel?
It is not.
Yay!
It's not Zookeeper 2.
Yay!
It's not Madea's Family Bris. No, no.
Whoa, whoa.
No, it is Hansel and Gretel.
Yay!
This movie looks amazing. In 3D, Jeremy Renner and Gemma Arterton play, as you can imagine, Hansel and Gretel, brother and sister, whose lives have been destroyed by witches. Effing witches, man. They always do that. And they become vigilantes, taking on all kinds of evil. And
looks like a kick-ass movie.
Boy, sure looks fun. I can't wait to see this. If you'd like to go to the red carpet world premiere, that means you will see the stars like Jeremy and Gemma right there on the red carpet and also see the movie. It's happening January the 24th at Grauman's Chinese Theater. That is the day before the movie's in theaters everywhere on January the 25th. If you'd like to go, and why wouldn't you? This is going to be a fun event. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. The first five callers who manage to get through at that number will get a pair of passes to attend the red carpet premiere of Hansel and Gretel. It's good to be Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
It's just a guess.
I would guess the same.
Let me tell you what you can do if you're Leonardo DiCaprio. He was at a fundraiser, a charity event for Haiti last Saturday to raise money for
that.
The,
does sound like fun.
Still, the
I think that's the end of it.
The storm-torn island of Haiti and the people who live there. Sean Penn, this is his pet charity. He had an event and he invited Leonardo DiCaprio. And there was, as there are a lot of these things, these auctions that they do for cool stuff. And one of the things being auctioned off was a sit-down conversation with President Bill Clinton.
That's
if you were the
cool.
high bidder, you could sit down and have coffee with Bill and talk to Bill Clinton.
Who wouldn't want to do that?
That'd be pretty remarkable.
Amazing, yeah.
He was outbid. Leonardo DiCaprio was.
Outbid?
A woman outbid him.
Oh, I see.
So this is what you can do if you're Leonardo DiCaprio. You go over to the woman and say, hey, why don't we turn this into like a date, like a double date thing? I'll go with you. The two of us will go and we'll go meet Bill together.
That's not in her dream. Probably.
That's not in her dream?
No, about Bill Clinton.
Well, she was a high bidder. She obviously wants to hang out with Bill Clinton. Yeah. And then Leonardo DiCaprio comes up to you afterwards and says, yeah, I know you outbid me and you're the big
yes,
winner.
That'd be all right.
But I'd like to come along anyway. Why don't we make a date out of it? You and I can go meet Bill together. Surprisingly, the woman said, yes, okay, Leonardo DiCaprio, you can be my date when I meet Bill Clinton.
That doesn't work unless you're someone like Leonardo DiCaprio that it's also a big thrill to be with.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. You don't go up to her and say, hey, you outbid me, but I want to go. It's like, no, F you. I outbid you. I need Bill Clinton. You go home and cry in
so,
your beer.
Does he go for free now? Is he just piggybacking on her prize?
No, he's going to pay for half of it. So they're both paying $200,000 to hang out with the former commander-in-chief.
Wow. How much, Ralph?
She put up 200 grand. actually, she initially, I guess, bid 400 grand.
Wow.
And he said, well, since I'm going along, I'll go halvesies with you. And so he's going to pay 200 grand, and she's going to pay 200 grand.
How about that? There better be more than coffee for $200,000. That's what she's hoping.
Well, there would have been for her until Leonardo DiCaprio came along and all third-wheeled him, and now is just C-blocking him.
Bill
would have had a good time if it wasn't DiCaprio coming along.
Or it's one step closer to airtight, and it's a win-win.
Oh, come on.
Oh,
it's
the wobbly H.
Oh, come on.
Who's with me?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Leonardo DiCaprio. What's wrong with you?
A lot.
Edward Furlong's got some problems. Star of Terminator 2 was arrested on domestic violence charges for the third time in just 3 months this week. Sources at the LAPD tell TMZ that he was hauled in last Sunday morning around 5:45. When they ran his name, they discovered there was an outstanding warrant for him. And he is still behind bars. Apparently, Edward having a hard time raising the $50,000 in bail money. So he is currently still incarcerated. And if you're going to beat up your girlfriend, I think that's where you should stay.
That's where you belong.
You belong there behind the bars. Everyone's safer with you there. But three times in 3 months, this guy's got some serious issues.
So does Tony Danza, apparently. Tony Danza, according to the New York Post, was on a flight cross-country from here in Los Angeles to New York. And I feel bad for the guy. He's there in first class with all the other highfalutin muckety-mucks. And he starts to feel a little nauseous.
Uh-oh.
And the next thing you know, he starts puking all over the first class section of the American Airlines flight. What? The only thing worse than throwing up in first class and having everyone stare at you and you're feeling poorly already is the fact that fellow passenger model Kate Upton in first class was apparently a little freaked out by the whole thing. We've got vomit! Buddy tells the New York Post that Tony just had a little 24-hour flu bug and he's feeling much better. However, Kate Upton will never recover.
And by the way, I don't know what was on Tony Danza's mind, but I can imagine that if he's like most guys, he's in first class looking at Kate Upton going, I got a shot.
Yeah. What? It's a long flight.
What's
man.
My move going to be?
Conversation
exactly.
here?
Yeah, it might happen. I know it's not likely, but it could happen. At least we're in the same place at the same time. She can't run away. She can't leave. I got right. a shot.
And just some casual conversation. Kate, I just want to let you know I'm a big, big...
Come on.
That's enough. Okay, all right. This is not a great opening line, guys. All right, go back to your seat, Tony. It's not going to happen, okay? Make it stop. Come on! That's entirely enough.
Make it stop.
I don't know what you want me to do.
Come on!
All right, I think this is one more. Okay, there you go. All right,
poor
back to
Tony.
You.
Oh, he's empty. He's got the heaves.
That's bad news for the whole flight.
Who's the boss now? It's your stomach. Today's celebrity birthdays. Sade is 54 years old today. David Chokichi from Baywatch is 45 years old. Roy Jones Jr., legendary boxer, 44. Kate Moss, supermodel, is 39 years old. Those same noises can be heard coming out of Kate Moss's bathroom after a big meal.
After any meal.
Yeah. Nick Valencia of the Strokes is 32. And Baltimore Ravens quarterback Joe Flacco, 28 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Kevin and Bean Show, at least this hour will be worth listening to. Our friend Dave Grohl joins us in studio, and Corey Taylor, too. Good morning, rock stars.
Good morning.
Hey, this is the first time that I think we've ever had a guest come in and just start screaming at Bean at the top of his lungs.
Yeah, Corey, what did I do, man?
Me. First of all, how dare you put good and morning together in a sentence?
Dave and Corey are here because this thing is happening. This Sound City movie that we've been hearing about. Dave, from you, you've been kind of dropping hints about it for the last year or so, but now it's finally happening. People are finally going to be able to see it, right?
It's finally here. Well, we started working on it. It was about a year ago.
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing. We made a movie and we made an album and we edited everything together. We got the record ready. We did all of that within a year, which is kind of phenomenal. Everybody was so into it and we worked so hard and so fast that we're premiering it at Sundance on Friday. And now we're actually letting people hear some of the record too.
Tell us about – we're going to play one of the songs coming up here in a minute.
Yeah.
Tell us about this place.
This legendary place that's your church, but most people have never heard of it, even though they've certainly heard records made there.
Right. Sure. So when Nirvana came down to Los Angeles in 1991.
Who?
This band. It was me and a couple friends.
You were in a band before Foo Fighters?
Yeah. I was just a kid.
I never heard about that one.
We were okay. So, but we came down here in 1991 to record that record, Nevermind, and... we lived up in Seattle, but the label wanted us to record here, so they picked a really cheap dump out in the valley for us to record. And we got there, and it was a total wreck. The place was just a mess, and they had this beautiful old mixing console and this awesome room, but it looked like a burned out Chi-Chi's. It was like so.
At the beginning, were you bummed when you saw? Were you like,
"Well,
come
we
on.
Were like, really? I mean, it was $600 a day, which was a lot to us.
Right?
I mean, believe me, we weren't like used to gold standard studios at that point. So we got there and we spent 16 days, and we recorded the record, and then the record got really big. And the studio was just about to close when we went there. And because Nevermind became so big, their business blew up. And so I always remained friends with the people there. It was like a family-run studio.
Other bands see the success of that album and go, where did they record it? I need to record that.
Well, you know, basically, in 1991, people weren't using that cool old stuff anymore. Because the board in there was this old analog thing that was built in the 70s.
It's a big Neve board.
Yeah, big Neve board. That they have a really specific sound. They sound awesome, but at 1991 people were using like more digital stuff,
right?
So Nevermind was kind of a return to that old school, just set up and hit record and play. And when it became popular, that's where everybody started going to get that sound. And I mean, Tom Petty and Fleetwood Mac and Evel
and Tool
Knievel
and Rage Against the Machine and people like that said, hey, we want our record to sound like that record. What was it that was so special about that equipment or that room, Dave?
Well, that board is handmade, and there's only one of them like that in the world. And that room had this awesome drum sound. Like it was, and it wasn't acoustically designed. It was just this old warehouse room, but it sounded awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they closed last year, and that board, everybody's recorded on it, and I have a studio, and so I kindly offered that if they were going to sell it, that I would be honored to have it, and they sold it to me. It was right around the 20th anniversary of Nevermind, and I mean, honestly, if it weren't for that board, I don't know if I would be here.
Because you think that board played that big a role?
See, that's what you have to understand. The movie has a lot to do with the reason why music sounds the way it sounds.
Yeah.
People don't take that stuff into consideration.
I don't think I would.
Had we recorded that record in a different way, it just wouldn't sound the same. And if it didn't sound the same, it might not have had the same impact.
Huh. Yeah.
Now, let me ask Corey to jump in here, because while we're talking about the magic of that room, so you end up recording Iowa there for your band, Slipknot.
Yeah.
Tell me how you came to know about Sound City and why you ventured out to do it there.
Well, Ross Robinson is the one who turned us on to it. I mean, obviously, we'd heard of it, you know, because we were recording junkies like everybody else, you know, and we know about Neves and we know about SSLs and we got all that tech stuff and whatnot. So when it came time to do Iowa, we really wanted to kind of, you know, step it up a notch, you know, and Ross was able to kind of get us into Sound City. And, you know, that Neve board is pretty legendary. And the thing about that Neve board is it has such a personality. Like, no two albums sound the same coming out of that same board because of the different love that you put into it, the different, you know, the little variables that go into it.
You guys sound
it.
Crazy.
We are crazy. But that's the thing.
Because I don't get it.
You used to have to be crazy and have talent to make albums, man. All right? I'm sorry.
All right.
You know, you kind of threw it in a pot. If it sucked, it sucked. If it didn't, it didn't.
Okay, but if this equipment is so great and so many legendary musicians are so happy with it, why don't they make more of them?
Because here's the thing. What they've done is they've basically used the technology to replicate, quote-unquote, that sound. So now it's easier to do it, whereas before you had to really take the time to find that sound.
Now, when you went to that studio because you heard it was so important and good and the board was so good, did you have the same reaction Dave did, which is... This place is a dump,
yeah.
Oh, dude, it's gross.
Everybody did. The only person, and I interviewed 40 different people, the only person, if you ask Mick Fleetwood, when Fleetwood Mac went there in 73, he was like, it was great. Like, state of the art. You
is
know?
That because
was,
he doesn't remember?
Dude, they rented a couch for 12 years. They rented a couch for 12 years, Sound City.
The carpet on the walls was brand new. There's shag carpet on the walls.
It was so brown. It was just brown. Anyway, so I bought the board, and I thought that I would make a short film about the board and the history of it and all the people that have recorded there. And then I reached out to everybody from Corey to Rick Springfield to Fleetwood Mac to Tom Petty and Neil Young. And everyone said, yeah, sure, we'll do an interview because they all loved Sound City for what it represented.
I would have thought it would have taken you a lot longer than a year to even just to track everybody down with the schedules and everything.
I don't sleep. I don't sleep. I drink coffee.
Say, hey, it's Grohl. Be here at noon?
Pretty much. I mean, you know what?
That's what he said to me.
First of all, I've been wasted with pretty much everyone in the movie at least once in my life.
That's true.
And everyone not in the movie.
Exactly. And the crew. So
before we have to take a break, this is the voice of Dave Grohl and Corey Taylor. We're going to tell you much, much more about the movie and the All-Star Concert here in a minute and give away tickets and the whole deal. But I have to ask, where's the couch?
Well, the studio, unfortunately, now isn't the same as it used to be. It was, I mean, fortunately, they cleaned it up a little
you
bit.
You don't want the couch.
Yeah,
you may want the
couch.
Board, but you don't
How
want
do
the
I
couch.
Not want a couch that a guy from REO Speedwagon probably had sex on?
You probably get syphilis from that couch.
You answered your own question.
Yeah.
Serious?
There's stuff you might not want to touch there.
The film is called Sound City. It's going to Sundance this weekend, premiering in Los Angeles on January 31st. And, of course, we should mention real quick for folks who aren't able to stick with us, you can pre-order it, right? You can go to all the usual places like iTunes and stuff like
that. iTunes and there's SoundCityMovie.com.
Yeah. And we're going to talk all about the All-Star Concert and more with our guests. Dave Grohl and Corey Taylor are here. We'll be right back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
On the 91 westbound at Euclid, the right lane is blocked. Watch for slowing from Raymond to the 5 freeway. In Moreno Valley on the north 215, traffic still recovering. Very heavy from Nuevo all the way up to the 60 and south 405 to the east 22, a wreck in the left lane. Stop by a Subway restaurant and get a big combo for a small price. Any regular 6-inch sub plus a 21-ounce drink. Cup of today's soup for just $6. Subway, eat fresh. Limited time only. Additional charge for premium subs. Prices and participation may vary plus tax. See store for details. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
You can't throw her. You can't. Where
she
did you
is
get that
traffic music?
I don't know.
What is that?
But you accompanied me with awesome.
That's what you want people listening to.
Sounds
in traffic.
Like an old prong demo. It's like.
These guys were. First they were.
Snip your fingers.
First these two guys were air drumming. And yep. Lisa looked at him and just kept right on going. And then Dave started doing some kind of.
I did pyro. And I did a solo. Yeah. And I was spinning my sticks.
Yeah, that was pretty sick.
I was enjoying it.
I thought that was jazz hands. I misunderstood. Spinning your sticks with jazz.
These are spirit fingers.
This is Liza.
This is Tucky Lee.
All right. Settle down, everybody.
Sorry.
Grown-ups are trying to talk here.
Oh, Dave says Grohl, the man who's not even here.
Correct. Dave Grohl and Corey Taylor in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. They are both part of the documentary Sound City. SoundCityMovie.com is where you want to go if you want to buy tickets. You're going to Sundance this weekend. You got the big premiere in L.A. on January 31st and then an all-star concert afterward. Let's talk about the concert because that's the thing that tickets are going on sale for today at noon through LiveNation.com. What's the deal with this show, guys?
So I thought that it would be kind of fun to take it one step further and not only interview the people from all of these amazing bands, but then also to perform with them in the movie. There's performances in the movie as well, but then also to bring it to the stage and to have a gig where you have all of these musicians that
Name
are
some.
In the movie.
Name some
Black
that are
Rebel
be
Motorcycle
played.
Club, Chris Goss from Masters of Reality, Leaving from Fear, John Fogerty, Stevie Nicks, Rick Springfield, Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick.
No
Corey.
Room for Corey.
Corey. I'm getting there.
Oh, there's
I'm getting to the top
me.
Of the bill here.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Corey. me and Chris and Pat from Nirvana, Foo Fighters. Who else? It's a lot of us.
Just going to jam all night, basically.
Pretty much. I don't know if there's a curfew, but it's going to be a long night.
Well, there won't be a curfew that night.
It's going to be fun. I mean, that's the thing is that I know. And Corey just told me that he's going to be at the LA
I'm
show.
I'm flying in. We're going to fly in. Yeah.
So what we're going to do basically with Corey, I don't know if I'm just going to say it. We're going to do the song from the record that we recorded with Corey.
We're going to play in a minute.
Which is, on that song, it's me on drums, Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick on guitar, Scott Reeder from Caius on bass, and Corey on vocals. And so at the show, we're going to do that song, but we're also going to do a set of Cheap Trick songs.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
nice.
Corey's backing band will be me and Chris and Pat from Nirvana with Rick Nielsen playing guitar and Corey singing. Oh, it's going to be so good!
Wow, that sounds awesome.
You got to stop saying that because I
be
freak
so
out
good.
Every time I think about it too long.
Good, it's gonna be
My
so
head just goes...
Good. So good,
Bay.
Dave, I know you in particular, and Corey, I'm sure you too grew up idolizing a lot of these people that you're now rubbing shoulders with.
Yeah, like Corey.
Do you get at all, I mean, you're Dave Grohl, but do you get starstruck if you're hanging out with Cheap Trick or with Corey?
Yes.
I mean, seriously.
Yes, absolutely.
Or is it just, hey, we're all musicians, we're on the same team and it's all equal?
Yes to both. But you have to understand, like, to me, you know, hanging out with Paul McCartney is...
Who's on the album.
Who's on the record, too.
That's crazy.
And in the movie.
he's the guy from that Ebony and Ivory song, right? That's what we're talking about?
Yeah, he was
he's
a solo
the other
artist.
Guy.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, when you meet someone whose music is really important to you, it doesn't really matter. Their level of fame doesn't really matter. Because I've met people who are hugely famous who I never really listened to.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, oh, hey, dude, what's up?
Yeah.
But then, you know, when I first met Corey or when I first met the guys from Black Rebel Motorcycle Club, those are bands that, like, I really love. And I spent a lot of time listening to their music. And when you meet that person, like, in the flesh, it... You get kind of a little nervous.
Are you tongue-tied ever?
Yeah.
The guys from Led Zeppelin or whoever?
No, you... like when my wife asks me questions and stuff.
Yeah, of course. Because you're trying to think of a lie. Yeah. Right?
Well, you know, the funny thing, the funniest thing is when I first started dating my wife, Iowa had just come out.
Right.
Slipknot record Iowa. And if you've ever listened to it, it is such a masterpiece. It is the most brutal album ever made. It just is, dude. From front to back, you cannot top it. And I was listening to it every day in the car, and I was making her listen to it too. I can't even believe that
she's a keeper. Then,
yeah, that's how I knew it.
Yeah, that's the stress test.
I want to talk about this Paul McCartney thing because it was kind of sprung on us out of nowhere around that 12-12 concert. It was almost like the day before we heard, hey, wait a minute, Paul McCartney's playing the song with Grohl and these guys from Nirvana. What?
Yeah.
What song are they going to do? There was so much speculation. Are they going to do a Nirvana song? Are they going to do a Beatles song? What are they going to do? How did that thing happen?
Honestly, like about 8 months ago, I've jammed with Paul a bunch of times. He's without a doubt the coolest guy in the world and just the sweetest, nicest, most awesome person.
And 70 and couldn't be more modern and more plugged in,
and
right?
A Beatle, you know.
There's that.
And he's just the coolest. Like, he's absolutely the coolest guy ever. So I as we were filming all of these performances, I was just like, hey, dude, why don't you come down and jam? He's like, okay. So he comes down and brings the bass, you know, that he's played for 40 years.
Right.
And the Les Paul that there's only four of in the world at the guitar. And then he brings this guitar made out of a cigar box. It's called a Sig fiddle. And he's like, oh, I have to go play this. Why don't you play a bit of drums? And, you know.
Can I hear some more of your Paul McCartney impression?
Yeah. No. So, and we just jammed. And we, like, wrote this song in about an hour. And we recorded it.
So you really did write and record it in one day?
Absolutely. We walked in and we jammed it, and it just came out of nowhere, and those best songs happen that way. Yeah. It came out of nowhere, and we recorded it live and then put a vocal over it, and that was it. It was like 3 hours, and it was perfect.
Wow.
And then he called before the 12-12 thing. He called maybe a month before and said, hey, we're doing this benefit. Will you play with me? And I said, yeah, the Foo Fighters are taking a break, but if you want to play – let me know. And then he called a couple days later and said, hey, why don't we do that song that we recorded with you and Chris and Pat? I
was like, so let me interrupt you. So your phone occasionally rings and Paul McCartney is on the other end calling you.
That happens.
That happens in your real life.
Is that weird?
Yes, that's weird. Here's my theory.
Of course it's weird. Believe me.
I don't mean to brag, but my grandma calls me.
Yeah.
All the time.
Mine doesn't.
Here's my theory about Paul McCartney, and I'm a crazy Beatles fan just like you guys, and I'm obsessed like we get. But I just feel like when he's making a Paul McCartney album, he gets too precious. But when he's just chilling and hanging out with other musicians like the Fireman Projects and this thing that he did with you, I feel like the pressure's off. He doesn't have to make a Paul McCartney record. He can just be a great musician, and it always comes out beautifully.
Dude, you have to understand that one of the great things about playing like with Paul McCartney or playing with someone like Neil Young is that that generation of musicians, they cherish and respect and value the practice of just going into a room and coming up with something and jamming it and making it a song. There's no precious, like, there's not like seven songwriters and seven producers and digital technology.
It takes 2 years.
It's whatever. It's like people getting in a room. You know, it's one of the things that the movie is really most about, the human element of music and what it's like to just get together with a person and write a song in a room in a day. And it doesn't have to be perfect. But that's how the magic happens. Like when you get four human beings playing with each other, you get the Beatles or you get The Rolling Stones.
Not always,
but that's the thing. That's where the magic happens. When people play with people, that's what it's all, to me, that's what it's all about. That's when you get those magic moments. And to in the movie, you see that. Like, you see all of us putting these songs together. Yep. Like, you see it start from scratch. You see Rick Springfield and the Foo Fighters writing a song. You see,
that's weird.
It's awesome.
It's amazing.
You know what? It makes a lot more sense than you would imagine. Because all of us, too, we all come from the same place. Like, we were kids that bought instruments at yard sales. And then we started a band in a garage. And we sucked. And then we became the biggest band in the world.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's how it happens. Yeah, it doesn't you don't have to stand in line to be on a TV song contest show.
Right.
You know what I mean? And like, and then walk up and get your one big chance. And some guy goes, you suck.
You suck.
Don't then, you dare make fun of my Clay Aiken, because I feel like that's what's happening here right now.
All right. So we're going to talk more about the movie.
What would Clay Aiken do?
We're going to talk more about the movie in just a second. But next, we're going to play From Can to Can't. Tell us about that.
I mean, you want to talk about a check mark off my bucket list. I've been wanting to work with Dave forever, you know? So when he invited me to be a part of this movie, he said, oh, by the way, I've got this music. Would you like to, you know, put this together? And I just went, duh, I'm already in the car on my way. So we kind of went back and forth and we fleshed it out, you know? And when I went to do the interview, he was like, all right, let's record the song. And it was just, I mean, it was so effortless, you know?
And who's on it again?
On the song?
From Can to Can?
Corey,
Rick Nielsen, Scott Reeder, and Dave playing drums, right? Yeah. You play guitar as well?
Yeah, I play guitar.
Yeah.
Well, guitar and drums.
I don't think this has been heard anywhere before, but we're going to play it next from Can to Can, and that is going to be on the soundtrack of the Sound City movie, which is called Reel to Reel. The soundtrack comes out on March 21st. We'll talk more about all of this with our guests, Corey and Dave, right after this on the Kevin and Bean Joint Kit. You've never heard that song before? No one has. It's called From Can to Can't, and that is from the forthcoming Reel to Reel Sound City soundtrack, available on March 12th. That's Corey Taylor singing there, young Dave Grohl on this track as well, Rick Nielsen and Scott Reeder, too.
What? He's not that young.
We have a couple of tickets to give away for this show, by the way. Tell us, we'll take some calls at 1-800-520-1067. Two pairs of tickets for the show at the Palladium January 31st. Everyone else can buy tickets at noon today. So who all's going to be performing that night? Like Stevie Nicks is going to be there. Like how much does she sing? How much does Rick Springfield sing?
Well, I'm not going to give away the whole set list, dude.
Yeah. Every song.
Basically, okay, so you've got the Black Rebel Motorcycle Club guys are going to play, one of my favorite bands. My friend Alain Johannes, who's played with Queens of Stone Age and was in a band called Eleven, is playing. Chris Goss from Masters of Reality will be there. Brad Wilk from Rage Against the Machine will be playing some drums. Lee Ving from the legendary punk band Fear will be doing a set. Who else? Rick Springfield. We'll be doing a set. Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick with me and Corey and Chris Novoselic and Pat Smear.
Quite a night.
Then you've got John Fogerty is going to do a bunch of stuff. You've got Stevie Nicks is going to do a bunch of stuff. And it's, I mean, dude, in the last 2 weeks, I've learned like 50 songs.
Wow. That,
you know, like when something says like memory card full, memory card full. Yeah. That's my brain, dude.
I hope I'm not giving too much away, but David Copperfield is going to bless the stage.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's coming in.
Well, that's even
it's
going
to be fantastic. You know, all we had to give him was like a Starbucks gift card. Yeah. It was pretty sweet.
A German model.
It was really?
This Sound City that we so casually mentioned for folks who weren't with us early in the hour is the legendary recording studio that started in the late 60s or the very, very beginning of 1970, right?
They opened up in the late 60s, and then they really started kind of blowing up in the early 70s. Like and, 73, because that's when Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham actually met Mick Fleetwood at Sound City, and that's where the Fleetwood Mac.
Really?
Yeah.
And then the Grateful Dead and Cheap Trick and Foreigner and Tom Petty just went on
Evel
and on.
Knievel?
All the way up to Death Cab
Charles
for Cutie.
Manson.
What?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Really? Manson did his demos there.
Oh, Manson did demos there. The FBI took them.
So what's
it's
what's
the creepiest music ever?
Yeah.
What's in that space now? Is it have they turned it into a Del Taco or what's in that building? Yeah.
Now it is a Chi-Chi's. A great producer named Kevin Agunis took it over and remodeled it and made it really nice. And the room still sounds amazing. And it's still a functioning studio. It's not really the same old Sound City, but it's still a studio. And I've recorded there since. I made a record with a band called Red, Gold, Green. I played drums on it. And it sounds great, man. It's a great place.
So there are still places that you approve of that you can go to and still make music, even though that one's gone.
You know,
the magic still exists.
Here's the thing is that, you know, we live in a wonderful, beautiful world where technology has made it available to everyone that anybody can record music. Now, when we were kids, like making demo tapes and stuff, to get anyone to hear what you'd recorded was the biggest pain in the butt.
Yeah.
It's like you go to a studio and it would sound like crap, and then you'd send it to a place and they'd press little singles and then you'd stuff them with the sleeves.
Well, your Foo Fighters demo was on cassette, right?
Yeah. And so, and then, you know, you would like have to hand them out. Now, all of this is available to any kid that wants to be in a band.
Yeah.
So it's pretty awesome. But those old studios, man, like there's so many stories from these beautiful places that I really believe that if the more depth you give a song, the more you can connect to it. So, like, sometimes you hear a song and it just comes out of your car radio and it's like, oh, yeah, I remember that tune.
Right.
But if you learn about the people and the story and the life behind these places where it was made and the people that made it and the relationship between them, it gives new meaning to music, because music should be more than just like a sound. Like there's emotion and there's real human quality to music. I really believe like music totally changed my life. I would totally be like smoking crack or drywalling or whatever.
or both.
Smoking drywall. if it weren't for playing music.
Yeah.
And so the intention of the movie is really to inspire the next generation of kids to appreciate the simple human quality of music. Like, you don't have to do the TV show. You don't have to be perfect. You just, like, pick up a guitar and suck.
Yeah.
And it's the best feeling in the world until you become good. And then you're the biggest band in the world. It can happen, you know?
You never know how good you are until you figure out the mistakes, you know?
Until you fail a certain amount.
That's the thing. I mean, and failure causes success, you know? I mean, you have to cut your teeth. You got to practice. You got to know your thing.
Failure does not cause success on this show. I can tell you that.
Well, I wasn't going to bring it. Well, like I said, this is about talent.
You guys have sucked forever, and you're still around.
Look at that. And I'll also say this in particular about a guy like you, Corey. No one gets into Slipknot expecting success. You do that music because, certainly not, that's my point. That's my point. You got into Slipknot because you and the guys in your band loved it and loved that music, and it meant something to you, and you connected with that music. But clearly, you didn't expect to have number one albums and be able to have this career.
We expected to be at the most. You know, our high watermark was hopefully a 200,000 album band. You know, that would allow us to tour. That would allow us to kind of make our music, you know. We didn't expect any of that. You know, so that was all extra, and it really, really messed us up for a long time.
I was
going to
ask if it takes a while.
It really did, man.
Like, mentally, does it take a
while? There was a good four-year period where I was out of control, and luckily I kind of got out of that and put it back in perspective, you know, and got back to the point where it was like, this is all so I can make music. This is all so I can perform.
Right.
This is all so I can do exactly what I wanted to do, you know. But it took years, you know. I mean, I've been doing this now since I was 14, 15 years old. And in that time, I've seen so much weirdness.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That, you know, it's helped mold me and get me to where I am, you know. And it's, you know, I'm really lucky. But at the same time, I earned it because I worked tirelessly to get to where I was.
Right. Well,
you know,
one of the things
about being a musician that came from that kind of thing, like, we've had crappy jobs.
Oh, yeah.
Gas stations.
Oh, yeah. I worked in a porn shop for 3.5
porn
years.
Porn shop.
It was the best job ever.
Well, yeah, what are you talking about?
But before that, I was rolling burritos. You know, like,
all right, well, that's better.
I can roll you a burrito. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying.
Hey, that kind of rolling
skill.
Is a transferable
to this
skill.
Day, when we're making tacos at the house, I'm like, check this out. I learned this at Taco Time.
Watch this.
If I had some paper, I could roll it up for you and just hand it right to you. So sad.
You don't have cleanup duties in the porn place.
That
though,
was
right?
my that's question.
No. Okay. I was a sales associate.
Okay, that's,
I was
that's not, way better.
That's what they called it. I wore
a
smock.
Is that corporate? What is that?
It was like the Walmart of porn. Like, it was well lit. It was very nice. I dusted. It was great.
Awesome.
Yeah. 3.5 years, midnight to 8. I can tell you some stories.
Awesome. You saw every politician in Iowa.
Well, I saw my aunt. What? Yeah. I'm just going to leave it at that.
And thus, Slipknot was born.
You saw your aunt. All right, listen. Gentlemen, we're going to have many questions about that throughout the day.
We are out of time. We're all big music geeks here, and I'm telling you, and I speak to the music geeks listening to K-Rock today, Sound City is essential viewing and essential listening. You can get all the details about the movie, about the concert, about the movie, and everything at SoundCityMovie.com. And remember, today at noon, you can buy your tickets for the live show at LiveNation.com. And Lisa had asked off here, but we want to mention, eventually it is going to be in theaters and available for everyone to buy on demand and the whole deal. It's going to, people can get it, right?
People are going to get, we're doing a limited theater release January 31st. Then it'll be, you just got to keep your eyes out for it. And then it'll come out in DVD, like around the time the record comes out in March, I think.
Dave Grohl, Corey Taylor, love you guys. Thanks, man.
Later.
Thank you.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 8:54.
I know it seems like we should be done, like that was enough entertainment for one day, but Adam Carolla still to come right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
This stupid show ruins everything.
Why?
Because Kevin and I were in the other room having a wonderful conversation with Dave. And
Dave and Corey.
Corey, and we were just hanging out, having fun, and Dave came back and was like, oh, you have to go back on the air.
You have to go.
Like, hey, man, talking here.
But they wouldn't have been here in the building having a conversation with you if it weren't for this.
How do you know?
They might have been. What are you, clairvoyant?
Ralph and I
are
an
air magic 8-ball?
Very good conversationalists.
That's right. They could have come by just to hang out with us.
I take that back. Ralph's a very good conversationalist.
I am too good conversation word user. All right, let's talk showbiz news. Ryan Gosling, surprising news today, I found out. And I think you'll be surprised, too.
A woman?
That Ryan Gosling was this close to being in the Backstreet Boys.
No.
What? Yeah, how about that? He was living in the same apartment building as AJ when they were casting for the Backstreet Boys. It was just before Ryan started doing the Mickey Mouse Club. And he chose Mickey Mouse over the Backstreet Boys because he thought they were a New Kids on the Block knockoff and they weren't going to go anywhere. So he opted not to participate.
Ryan Gosling...
That poor guy almost had a life of fame and fortune. He could have gone on to be somebody.
Could have made something
of
himself.
That much.
Mm. I bet he would have gotten some girls, too, if he joined that band. Instead of the sad, lonely life he's probably living now, just being Ryan Gosling.
Life can be so cruel sometimes, man. Yeah. Why do some people just get everything and some people get nothing, like poor Ryan Gosling?
Yeah, it's not fair.
Yeah. While we're talking about Ry-Ry or Rygo.
Nope.
What do you like better, Ry-Ry or Rygo?
Neither.
I like Rygo.
Let's go with Ryan Gosling.
So Rygo is in this new movie, Gangster Squad. And the ladies love him.
Right.
I love him.
Lisa loves him. Yes. My wife loves him.
So does mine.
She's like, we're going to go see that new Gangster Squad movie. I'm like, really? It doesn't strike me as the kind of movie you would like. I knew I would be into it, but I'm surprised that you'd... Ryan Gosling. it's not just the civilians, by the way, who feel this way. You know our friend Anna Kendrick?
Yeah.
Super talented actress from Up in the Air and 50-50. She tweeted this week, ugh, never going to a Ryan Gosling movie in a theater again. Apparently, masturbating in the back row is still considered inappropriate. Which I thought was very funny of her.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's very funny. She's good. Hey, our hour is coming back tonight, Kevin. I don't know if you know that or not.
Our hour?
Arrow.
Arrow, yes.
Arrow.
Back on the CW. Aware of that, yes.
The return of the Green Arrow on
Love
the
Arrow.
CW. Stephen Amell. Or is it Amell? Probably Amell.
Do you remember
right?
being? We interviewed
it's
him.
It's one of those
I
names
don't.
Where you really,
Amell.
There's
Sorry.
Too many options.
Yeah.
Stephen Amell got
nice
married.
Nice guy, though.
Very nice guy. And got married to his girlfriend, Cassandra Jean.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. They were married on Christmas Day in the Caribbean, but they've kept it quiet until now. So they are coming public with their relationship. He, of course, has been on, besides Arrow, Private Practice and New Girl, and she was in America's Next Top Model and will be on Heart of Dixie. She is not an unattractive woman, is
That's
what I'm
correct.
Saying. She is okay. They make a lovely couple. When we start repopulating the world after the apocalypse,
those two,
we should start with them, because there'll be some good-looking people coming out of those two.
Them and the Honey Boo Boo parents.
Yes, them and Honey Boo Boo. Oh, it's funny you should mention Honey Boo Boo. Big trouble in the Honey Boo Boo world.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, Crazy Tony. Has been banned from the show. I don't watch the show. I don't know what any of this means. But the fact that I can say, oh, Mama June said Crazy Tony. But Uncle Poodle. And F all these people. All these people sound like cartoon characters from Nickelodeon.
They are cartoon characters.
Crazy Tony, who is often referred to as a cousin on the show, but apparently is not related to the family at all.
Oh, okay.
Has been banned
from the program by Mama June because she's upset that he was arrested in November for wearing a gorilla suit and scaring people who were driving on the freeway of their small hometown.
Some people are just playing crazy.
Yeah, and crazy.
How is that too crazy for this family?
What if he had been eating cheese puffs while he was scaring people? Would it be okay then? What if he was letting chickens crap all over him while he was wearing the gorilla suit?
Would have been fine.
Yikes. And Lindsay Lohan in the news. She has fired her lawyer who was trying to get a plea bargain deal for her for those misdemeanor charges related to that car crash she had last summer. Fired that lawyer and is intending on entering a non-guilty plea to those three charges, which looks like it will mean some sort of protracted trial for Lilo.
Good time.
Good move on your part, Lindsay.
Yeah.
She's got to go to jail at some point, doesn't she, Ralph?
Yeah, well, even more disturbing news is today her father, her estranged father, Michael Lohan, told the press that Lindsay now is so desperate for cash, she is now making her money as an escort.
Really?
Now, he claims it is just a social escort, just arm candy for wealthy men, but she will get paid thousands of dollars to go to dinner with them and events and functions and things like that. There's a guy, one of the royal family from Brunei, apparently uses her services on a regular basis.
Really?
And he says she has been reduced to sort of selling her company in order to pay bills.
Now, but this is coming from Michael Lohan.
Who is a nut in his own right.
A nut.
That is known to make up a story or two, so who knows. But.
I can't imagine wanting to hang out with Lindsay Lohan, much less paying for it. She just doesn't seem like she'd be fun.
Incorrect.
You're crazy.
Really? She's stupid and she looks beat up.
Yeah.
You don't drink, Bean.
She is always, she's always got a shot in one hand and a straw in the other. And I would just be... It would just be party central with Lindsay. It would just be a good time.
I think so.
See, I can't consider hanging out with Beer Mug, but Lindsay Lohan, I could see that. What's wrong? What did you do? Now, what happened? Why are you hobbling around the studio?
He's
falling apart. I pulled a
hamstring
on my first day at the gym yesterday.
You pulled a hamstring?
Yesterday was the day he decided he was going to start
stepping up on the treadmill? No. Your leg went boing.
I was doing reverse leg curls, and I was doing a little too much weight.
So now you can't really start your diet from
now
heels.
Now you have to eat up to get a lot more energy for your healing.
Another couple of weeks, probably.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Nick Valenti of the Strokes is 32 years old today. Joe Flacco, quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens, is 28. Kate Moss, the supermodel, is 39 years old. Boxer Roy Jones Jr. celebrates his 44th birthday. David Chokichi from Baywatch is 45 years old. And singer Sade celebrates her 54th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
How fun was that, by the way?
They're so cool.
How
great
are those guys, right?
People ask us all the time, like, who are the best people you meet? That's one of the big questions. Because our job, we get to meet everybody.
Yeah.
Right.
Those two guys are the two I would most want to have a beer with in the world.
Yeah, you want a road trip with those guys to Vegas. That's how much you enjoy their company.
They're awesome.
Just great stories, great enthusiasm, great fun, and a great project to this Sound City documentary. I tell you who's not on that list. I'll tell you who you don't want to spend any time with.
Let's get to Adam Carolla.
Adam Carolla, I know.
Oh, come on. How about those trips to Vegas, Kevin?
I forgot about that.
Were you involved in lighting somebody's farts? Is that what was happening?
Carolla lit fart. We drove a big, I don't know. What's it called, Adam?
An RV?
We drove an RV to Vegas.
An RV.
And Adam, every 30 seconds, would yell, hit the lights. And then he would put his legs up in the air and light a fart. And laugh as if it was the first time it's ever happened that anyone thought of it. And it was the funniest thing in the world. He probably did it 2,000 times on the way to Vegas.
Probably mid-600s. Mid-600s at max. The greatest... I don't know if it was this road trip, but I have done that on the way to Vegas before in Honda Civics, from the mid-'80s. So at least
amazing.
You had a little elbow room.
That's
at
true.
Least you could go into the bathroom and hide. but I had...
Every once in a while, it was like a flamethrower, though. I mean, you had to get out of the way.
Impressive. One of the greatest moments I had with somebody, we had about four or five people packed into a Honda Civic, and again, go back and look at old Japanese cars from the early mid-'80s.
They're not roomy.
Not roomy. And I was going, I've gone through my first, book of matches, and I was on number two or three, and I lit the match, and somebody in the front seat went, oh, not again, and they started to unroll the window, and it blew the match out right as the gas was escaping, and now the whole car smelled of ass, and everyone in the car started yelling at the guy who rolled the window down, like, you idiot, you blew the match out! And it was the funny thing in the world, because there I am laying back in the back seat, my legs spread out like I'm having a baby, and everyone's yelling at the guy who rolled the window down.
Not you, him.
No, it's his fault. You are brain.
You are Teflon, Adam.
Listen, there's still nothing worse than the Big Tad and Big Tad's brother rented van and me and Kimmel going to Vegas. You think my flamethrower. Yeah. That is a cap gun compared to T Chance Thrasher.
No, that sounds toxic. That really does sound like the government needs to get involved and shut the whole thing down.
Flashbang grenade every time.
And staying in the same room at like the Coronado Hotel. I can't remember that. I think they tore the place down. But
after you guys stayed there because it smelled so bad,
they had to tear it down. Imagine Big Tad snoring.
Yeah, sure.
Imagine his brother. And then Jimmy, who's for a guy who doesn't snore, nobody snores louder. Jimmy would always wake up and announce, I don't snore, so that's impossible.
Right.
But that was great. And the great thing is he's getting his star in the Walk of Fame and, 1135 and stuff. The number goes up every year, but once a year I say to Jimmy, how much to get back in that van and go to Vegas on a long weekend with me, Tad, and his big brother, who's a stripper.
Yeah.
And it started off about $10,000. It's now $1.5 million.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Adam Carolla is on the line from the Adam Carolla Show, of course. Live podcast taping tonight. You can be there in person at the Amalfi Ristorante and Bar on La Brea. You can get the details for that at AdamCarolla.com. And while you're there, be sure to buy some Mangria. The Ace Man stops by each week for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Starting at one and ending at one because I spent too much time talking about farting, and this is a big story, this Lance Armstrong thing. Everyone's got their panties in a bunch, and I was actually doing a podcast with Dr. Drew yesterday, and his phone was blowing up, and he said it was Lance Armstrong, and he was emailing him or texting him or something, and he felt horrible because it was the GOAT, and he's being lynched and all that kind of stuff. And I just thought, really, as far as problems in our society, where does Lance Armstrong rank in terms of problems we have? And what do we get so whipped up about this? First off, I'm assuming everybody who's toward the front of the pack, who runs the Tour de France, or as I like to call it, the Tour de Freedom. Because when we change French fries to Freedom fries,
right?
I changed French doors to Freedom doors.
Okay.
And now it's the Tour de Freedom because we don't say French anymore. The point is this. I'm sure all those guys are doping or doing some version of it. Anyone who's up on the leaderboard is up to something. The guy still's got 7 jerseys. And everyone's like, well, it gives cycling a bad name and a black eye. Cycling was in worse shape than a black eye. We didn't know what it was.
That's true.
It's something that busboys did to get home from work at night on a stolen mountain bike. I didn't even know this was a sport. So at least the only reason we know it's a sport, it's not like we were in high school and everyone's going, who do you got on the Tour de France this year? We didn't even know what it was. So Lance Armstrong at least made us know what it was. Secondly, the guy's raised $470 million for his charity. That's got to count for something, right?
Yeah.
I mean, is he really a pariah? Like, would we be better off if Lance Armstrong wasn't born? I guess that'd be the question, because there's a lot of people you could say that for.
Yeah, that's true.
And he's not one of them. And then secondly, you think about it, he's probably paid 25, maybe 50 million bucks in taxes over his career. That's the ultimate charity. I say that all the time. People are like, you give the charity? I was like, yeah, I give the ultimate charity. I pay a ton in taxes. They're like, well, that's not charity. And I think about it, it's the ultimate unselfish charity, because your charity is ovarian cancer or breast cancer or sickle cell. Guess who doesn't have any of those things? Me. But guess who drives the roads, and guess who wants a good army? Me.
Right.
So you pay taxes. That's the ultimate charity. All I'm saying is, the guy did what everyone else is doing, and now because we've constructed a society that loves to build people up and then tear them down, we're going to do something. We're going to take him out and parade him around and flog him. He's still a hero. He's raised a whole bunch of money, and I say leave the guy alone. And as far as all those parents out there who are like, my kid idolized you, what am I supposed to say to him? Well, he idolized him. Fine. He didn't know. I mean, think about it this way. It's like all the chicks who wanted to have sex with Rock Hudson, and then we found out he was gay. What are they? Was there a lawsuit? Hey, man, I wanted to blow you. What happened?
Things change. You know, things change.
Yes, things change.
Did he make a crucial mistake? If you're going to try to cover up a lie, do you win 7 in a row, or shouldn't he have missed a couple on purpose just so it wasn't so obvious that he was way better than everybody else at him?
Bean, great point. That's why I tell. And I know you have a lot of female listeners who fake their orgasms all the time.
That's true.
Miss one every once in a while. It makes it so much more believable for us. Once in a while, just like every ninth one, just go, I'm sorry, I was thinking about that lady where the monkey tore her face off. And I just couldn't, she was on Oprah, they were doing a
rerun.
Didn't happen. I just couldn't go there. I'm sorry. And then we'll believe all the rest of the fake ones.
Yeah, very
you're
smart.
So right. You're so
very,
right.
Very orgasm. Smart.
If Armstrong had just had a fake orgasm, we wouldn't be talking about this.
That's
today.
The message to take away from today. Amalfi Ristorante and Bar is on North La Brea Avenue in Los Angeles. The Ace Man will be there tonight at 7. By the way, your admission also gets you a free glass of Mangria. You can get all that at adamcarolla.com. And by the way, Ace Man, I want you to know, congratulations on the Video Podcast Network. I watched a little bit of your show last night. I didn't realize that you are starting to turn into Saul from Homeland with that ridiculous bushy gray beard, but you're scaring me. But congratulations on making it video on Tuesday nights. It's very cool, sir.
Thanks, Bean.
AdamCarolla.com. Thanks for joining us. Hey, again, a quick reminder so we don't forget, noon today, LiveNation.com. If you want to buy tickets to see that all-star concert that Dave Grohl and Corey Taylor were telling us about, you can get all the details at KevinAmin.com or KRock.com. And that new song from the forthcoming Sound City documentary album that we played earlier today, Stryker, is going to have for you again this afternoon. If you loved it like we did and want to hear it again on the radio, that's at 4:20 this afternoon.
We also videoed the entire interview. I don't know when that's going to be up at KRock.com, but it will be. So check back for that.
Lightning be selling that out of the trunk of his car. That's what's going to happen with that video.
By the way, I was at a Mexican restaurant the other day, since you brought that up, Ralph, and a guy was going table to table with a gym bag full of Hollywood hits on DVD. Should I have taken the plunge? Should I have given him my $5?
No.
What do you think the success rate is on those
piracy
being watchable?
Piracy hurts everybody.
That's right, Bean. Piracy takes the food out of the mouths of creative people. Is that what you want to do? Weezer in the back of a trunk?
But if I could see Skyfall for $5 at home, man, that's a pretty sweet deal. I was sure tempted.
Yeah, don't do that. You're not going to watch Skyfall no matter what.
Yeah, really.
If it was 99 cents, you wouldn't watch it.
That's not true. I like James Bond movies. I'm just saying. I'm just wondering what your policy is. Your policy is no, never buy those, right?
Policy's no.
No. Okay. And they're never good quality.
That was my fear.
As long as it's on you. As long as there was a problem for you, that was a fear. But the only other people we'd be screwing out of buying bootleg tapes you didn't give a rat's ass about.
Exactly. Yes, that's
accurate. I could encapsulate the magic that is Bean.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Chip Kelly. That's all I got to say.
New head coach for the Philadelphia Eagles.
It's all coming together. It's all starting to come together.
Next year's your year.
Chip Kelly from Oregon, now the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. Flyers are playing the Penguins on Saturday. It's all starting to come together. The universe is lining up. That's all I'm saying. I don't even know what that means, but it's good news. Bad news, however, in the world of show business. Sad news. Everybody's favorite TV dad, Conrad Bain, who played Mr. Drummond on Different Strokes for many seasons, has passed away. He was 89 years old, died Monday night in Livermore, California. So far, the details surrounding his death are unclear, according to TMZ.com. But he, of course, he had been an actor for many, many years before he ended up playing the adoptive father of Gary Coleman and Todd Bridges on that iconic 80s series, Different Strokes. He is survived by his three sons and one daughter. Also surviving is his twin brother, Boner Bain.
For reals?
Yep.
Nope.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Too good to be true.
Who was also an actor, who also worked as well.
Boner Bain.
Boner Bain, mm-hmm. Yes. I wonder why Boner's career never took off. Sad news, because he was beloved, and he was everybody's favorite dad on that show.
I bet you can't get a boner.
Remember when Arnold was being touched by that creepy bicycle shop guy?
I remember that episode. I didn't really see a different stroke.
Oh, come on!
I did.
Bean for a long time didn't have a TV.
Mr. Horton. Yeah, if you can imagine. Mr. Horton and the Bicycle Shop. How do I remember that name? Because I was scarred by that episode where Arnold was being touched in the guy's apartment. The guy's taking pictures of him and feeding him banana splits. And that's not a euphemism.
Now the world don't move to the beat of just one drum. What might be right for you may not be right for some. He's a man of means. They got nothing but the genes. Different strokes. Different strokes. Different strokes through the world.
He's a man of means. Then along come two. They got nothing but their genes. See, they didn't have a lot of money.
I think we got that.
Mr. Drummond had a lot of money.
Right.
And a smoking hot daughter, Dana Plato.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to head back to the Mexican restaurant and see if my guy's got any different strokes on DVD.
Different strokes season one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you can safely buy.
You can safely buy that, yeah. So, that's sad news.
Dead, 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 dead!
Wow.
Touching tribute from Bean?
Wow, is that wildly inappropriate for one of TV's favorite parents.
Well, life goes on. Except for you!
You're dead to me.
Awful dark in this room.
He's super dead.
Russell Crowe is now battling rumors that he is dating burlesque beauty Dita Von Teese. I mentioned yesterday that there was a story that the two had enjoyed a couple's massage at the Four Seasons Hotel in the Big Apple last month. But Russell sent out a tweet yesterday saying, Dita Von Teese is brave, smart, sweet, and elegant. She is a friend of mine. Who wouldn't want friends like that? Friends, not lovers. He is quick to point out.
Mm-hmm.
No mention of benefits.
So perhaps he is trying to rebuild his relationship with his wife of many years, Danielle. Anyway, so maybe we got it wrong. We don't know. We don't know what goes on in a couple's massage at the Four Seasons. We don't know.
That's true.
They could just be pals.
Didn't she used to date Marilyn Manson?
She did.
Yes. Yes.
You don't go after Marilyn Manson, right?
I think that's a pretty good rule in life.
Well, you don't go after Marilyn Manson without some extensive lab work, that's for sure.
Okay.
You gotta send her down to the lab. The boys in the lab have to run some tests.
All right.
They need to, take a couple swabs.
But, a lot of swabs. What's the half-life on Manson, though? I would think that 500 years or something you'd have to stay away from, right?
I don't know what the radioactive half-life is.
That'd be my fear, is clean her all you want, but you're not going to get the radiation off of her.
But you know what you get? You shake her and you get a bindle of Coke will fall off. You'll find Coke for years. Really? Allegedly?
Allegedly.
Really going to go there?
Yeah.
So what? Our own eyes mean nothing? We have to say allegedly?
Allegedly.
Is it alleged if I saw it with my own eyes?
Yes.
Is it still alleged?
Can you prove it?
Well,
it's a legend.
What if the guy says it is while I'm watching him do it? Then is it still a legend?
Can't we just say alleged
all
to be
right.
safe?
I don't know the alleged rules. I'm trying to get the alleged rules straight.
Just to be safe.
All right.
It's alleged.
Alleged.
Is he a cop?
Marilyn Manson asked of me when I walked into the room. Is he a cop? Yeah, alleged. You're right, Kevin. My bad. May have been some sort of sinus preparation that
That's
he was
times.
Enjoying.
Did you test the substance?
Could have been some sort of medicinal salve for his sinuses.
That's right.
Okay. One Direction is currently in Tokyo this weekend filming its 3D concert movie.
All right, then.
Finally, we get to see One Direction in 3D on the big screen. What's more surprising is its director, Morgan Spurlock.
What?
Documentarian who's given us such great films as Super Size Me is directing the film.
Is it going to be like a documentary where they interview them and stuff in between or something?
I'm assuming it will be. It's following them on tour. Lots of tour footage and lots of interview stuff as well.
Is it One Direction?
It is One Direction.
Yeah, I'm out.
That's why I was surprised.
I'm out.
He's a great director, though. I think you could give him any project and he would make it look good.
No, but One Direction's still going to be in it, though, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that would be the fatal flaw, I think, of Morgan Spurlock's film about One Direction.
He can be brilliant.
Yes, but in the end, you're still watching a movie about One Direction.
These guys missed. They did not connect with me at all, this One Direction. You know, I generally keep up with the kids.
Yes,
and their pop
you're like
music.
A 12-year-old girl. You love anything crappy for kids.
Justin and Taylor and Carly and all of them. One Direction, I've never heard a song by them that's been any good.
That's how bad they are. Bean doesn't like them, people.
Yeah.
That's bad news.
Also bad news is Tony Danza's flight from New York to Los Angeles. Tony Danza, of course, star of Taxi and Who's the Boss, was in the first class section of an American Airlines flight, according to the New York Post, when he started to feel a little queasy. Next thing you know, he is decorating the first class section with the contents of his stomach.
We've got vomit!
Yeah. He was like...
don't you go to the bathroom?
He was behaving like a wombat that Dave had molested. That's what he was doing. And it makes it even worse. It's bad enough and embarrassing enough if you get sick on a flight and you're in first class.
Yeah.
And there's other people around who are in your same socioeconomic group. But what compounds the insult to the injury of this story is that sitting alongside of him, Kate Upton. Smoking hot. Supermodel Kate Upton.
I guess that'd be all right.
You figure you got it. Is your opportunity. You have her in an enclosed space. She can't go anywhere, and you can make an impression, and you can score some points with a Kate Upton.
He made an impression. She was in enclosed space. She couldn't go anywhere. Done, and done.
Right? And now, game on.
You didn't say good impression.
Game on.
Impression. She'll never forget Tony Danza.
She won't.
For sure.
That's right.
Kevin, you spend more time thinking about Kate Upton, clearly, than you do your own children.
How dare you?
What's your move if you find yourself on that plane with Kate Upton?
I don't need a move, man.
I mean, do you even talk to her?
Of course.
I jump.
No, for real.
If that happens to me, I jump.
What do you mean you jump?
I open up the emergency exit door and I jump out of the plane.
Why?
Because I've just vomited in front of and perhaps all over Kate Upton.
He's saying if you're sitting there but you're not throwing
up. Tony Danza in the scenario?
You're just sitting next to her.
Oh, well then, game on.
Game on.
Do you go for it, Ralph?
Of course I go for it?
Yeah.
It's Mile High Club before we even touch down.
How's that even a question?
I don't think I would say anything to her.
Oh, my God.
I don't think I could. You are
a pussy of biblical proportions.
Look, here's what you do, Bean. You take for granted that you're going to lose, that you're going to fail. Mm-hmm. And then you just go, oh, well, there's a chance I might win. Here we go.
As the great Wayne Gretzky once said, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
There you go.
Ooh, nice. I like that.
Yeah.
I fail enough in my life. I don't need to go into things that I know I'm going to fail at.
Where's the harm of just starting a conversation? You don't know. It could lead somewhere. Probably it won't. But if nothing else, you've had a lovely conversation with Kate Upton.
I don't know. I just feel like it would just be one of those things the conversation would go so badly, I would regret it so much, as would she, that both of us would never forget it.
Wow, who's better at a one-sided conversation than you are?
No, but he knows.
That's like your superpower. Take advantage of it for once in your life.
But no, I think we've taught him that his audience hates it.
But he doesn't stop with us.
Of course not.
Why stop with Kate Upton?
I hear you. I'm with you.
What I'm saying is that I would always replay in my mind every boneheaded mistake I made in the conversation
and
just wish that I hadn't done it. That's
you
all.
Fail.
I would just whip it out. I wouldn't even say anything.
If I was sitting next to her, I'd go, how about that Tony Danza? Glad you're not sitting next to him.
Aren't I better than Tony Danza when it comes to a travel companion? Now watch me put my tray up in the upright position without my hands. That's what I would say to her. Yeah.
Poor Kate Upton. It must just be miserable for her to travel. Though.
Oh, I imagine. Every
plane she gets on, there's somebody who's thinking, oh, now's my shot.
Sure, that's the downside of being Kate Upton. You know what the upside is? She's Kate Upton.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And every morning when she wakes up and looks in the mirror, that's who's staring back at her. Kate Upton.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear about her troubles. Oh, if I was Kate Upton, I would never leave my house. I would just
have
pleasure myself all day long. That's all I would do. Today's celebrity birthday, singer Sade is 54 years old today. I know a lot of people are complaining that the business line is ringing off the hook. We didn't play any Smooth Operator today.
Yeah, that's all right. So don't worry about that.
Maybe Kat will have that later on today for you. David Chokichi from Baywatch is 45 years old. Legendary boxer Roy Jones Jr., 44 years old. Kate Moss, supermodel. 39 years old. Albert Pujols from your Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. 33 years old today.
The Great Disappointment.
The Great Disappointment. That's his nickname. It's his nickname. Yeah.
Right.
Nick Valencia. Nope. Nick Valencia of the Strokes is 32 years old. I was thinking of Awesome Town. I'm sorry. I got confused there for a minute. And Joe Flacco, Baltimore Ravens quarterback, is 28 years old today. Did I mention Jim Kelly's going to be coaching the Philadelphia Eagles?
Speaking of football, did I bring
you did
that
mention
up?
That yes. in the beginning.
46-7 is his collegiate record.
Yeah.
It's not too shabby.
Yeah, not too bad.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning at All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have Dr. Drew on the program. We have Muse tickets for you. We have Boss Rutan on the program. And we have comedian Jim Jefferies in the studio. Tell us about his new TV show. Very excited about all that. That is tomorrow morning on an all-new